in the making.
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
What horrible, spirit-crushing thing are you going to tell me now?
It's the George Plaster Show.
Americans heard the news and went wild.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line. 615-844-5600. And online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome in on a, I guess you'd call it a beautiful Monday. Let's get specific, though. Let's maybe say overcast. And let's take it a little farther and say 77 degrees, tomorrow 79, and then the heat wave. 84 on Wednesday, 86 on Thursday, up to 88 on Friday. Summer about to be here. That's a good thing. Let's head up to the plateau. Say hello to Coach Watson Brown. Watson, how are you?
George, I'm great. It's beautiful on the plateau today now, I'm telling you.
I believe it.
Wanting a little warm weather, we finally got it.
Yep. We've waited long enough.
Wow. Have we not? Somebody told me there was a freeze last week, a year ago in May, so maybe it wasn't such a surprise to have those couple of weeks of cooler weather there, but I'm ready for some warm weather.
Goofy stuff.
They always say if you live in Tennessee, just wait a day.
Oh, yeah.
Like what it is.
Or wait a couple hours. Yeah, if that's the case.
That's true.
So in studio, let's say hello to Michael Sendrick. For those of you who have not heard Michael before, he is a Division II scholarship athlete. He's a football player at Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. And he's here for about a month doing a little bit of an internship. How are you?
Doing really well. Excited for some chalk talk with Coach today. That's going to be fun.
Yep. We're going to bring it out of mothballs again from about 225 to about 325. We'll get into a variety of football issues that are going on. So what's the weather like in Arlington?
Hot. Really? I mean, there's no other way to say it. Usually I would say whatever Nashville is, add 5 to 7 degrees, and that's probably Arlington.
Yeah.
But in the summer, July and August, it is no joke.
It's brutal.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to a Ranger game where Watson temperature at game time was 99.
Yeah, I think I have, to tell you the truth. I went to a night game when we were at, I don't remember where I was, I think Mississippi State, and we visited Oklahoma, and not what we visited TCU. That's who it was. And then went to a Rangers game, and it was brutal. And it's nighttime. So I know where Michael's coming from. Of course, I lived in Houston 2 years and lived a year in Lubbock. So I know what heat is. There's no doubt about it. But I'll take heat over Cincinnati cold any day of the week.
Yeah, I'm with you. But I do think, Michael, that it has always, in the past, before they moved into this new dome stadium that they've got, I think that has always hurt their team. I think their pitchers have run out of gas in mid-August, September, because they deal with a heat that nobody else deals with.
Absolutely. And it honestly kept some fans from coming out to games, a lot of games in the summer. And those July games, I mean, people are just dying, you know, of heat. After four innings, everybody's drenched in sweat. I think the retractable roof is going to be really good for the Rangers. I think for not only their players, but the fans as well.
Problem is the team is not as good. They don't have anywhere near the offensive firepower. They've got Joey Gallo, but when Mazzara left, when Roofnet Odor got out of there, Shin-Sen Chu.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, former Cincinnati Red leadoff batter. They've lost some pieces to what was just a massive offense that they used to have.
Yeah, the Astros have been taking it to them, too, the last couple of days. So they're getting bullied within the state. It hadn't been good.
Yeah. Any trash can banging?
Not for us. We're losing. But the Astros, probably. Yeah. I mean, they're probably not done with it.
Okay. I know you have a stat of the day ready. Let's get this show on the road.
And now it's time for Stat of the Day. Brought to you by Jeff Holzapfel Pressure Cleaning.
Yeah, I said his name correctly. I'm the voice guy. Now, here's George Plaster.
Okay, Michael, lay it on us.
All right, we are in the NFL for this stat of the day, looking at just the last 20 years. Nobody born from which state has played in the NFL in 20 years? There's one state that they do not have an NFL player in the last 20 years that has been born from there. Does that make sense?
Watson, did it make sense to you?
Yeah, meaning there's only one state where there's not a player that was born in that state in the NFL, right?
Correct, in the last 20 years.
Well, George, I mean, we can kind of guess the smaller states, wouldn't you? Wouldn't that be the best percentages?
Yeah, I came with one earlier today that I thought to me was a codlock cinch, and it turned out not to be. Didn't turn out to be the answer. I don't know what the answer is, to be honest.
I would go northeast somewhere. I would say Maine, even though Maine's got a good FCS program. Maybe Vermont, Massachusetts would have a bunch of them. I would say, because the western states, George, Wyoming and Idaho, all those play good football now. I mean, football's important in a lot of those states. So I'm going to go Maine or Vermont.
Okay, I went Alaska.
Oh, I didn't think about that. I would have put that with it.
Yeah.
I would have put those three.
Let's start with Alaska.
They have a lot of good football up there. Their high school football, their facilities. When I went up to Alaska a few years ago, I saw a couple of them. Impressive fields. You would not expect turf. Real nice up there, yeah.
They have 7 current NFL players that were born from Alaska.
Do they really?
I would not have guessed. 7's a lot.
Yeah. Okay, now Watson, what did you go with?
Vermont or Maine, one of the two. One of those two.
Okay, let's start with Vermont.
How to pick between them.
Watson, let's say you got to lock it in.
Rip the knob off.
I got to lock in Vermont or Maine one?
Yep.
I'll go Vermont. I'll go Maine.
He changed it late. He changed it late and audible.
You know what?
I said Maine. I said Maine.
You had it with
sure you did.
Oh, jeez.
It was Vermont. You had it.
Oh, go ahead and play the music for him. It'll make him feel good.
Oh, I didn't pick it.
Yeah, but you were close. You were closer than Alaska.
Okay, so now if you can guess who has the most, I mean, there's only about 3 states it could be.
Texas, Florida, or... Texas, Florida, California, and I would...
Georgia.
Georgia was the 4th.
Georgia or Ohio.
Okay, it's one of those 5.
It is one of those 5.
Yeah.
California has 1,056 players who were born in California.
Wow. Where is Georgia?
Oh, gosh, now you're going to make me test my states.
It's just below Tennessee.
Georgia has 272.
What do we got here?
164.
Second, Texas.
Florida's with 952 and Texas with 898.
Wow.
That would have been a little easier to pick, wouldn't it, George?
Yeah.
Who would have had the most?
We kind of got screwed over.
Vermont.
Yeah, I was on the right track by saying it has to be some small state that you don't hear a lot of football about.
I really thought it was Alaska.
A lot of sissies in Vermont.
I would have had Alaska right there with you. I would. That surprises me that you say they've got good facilities in Alaska. I wouldn't have known that.
So let's get to the important music of the day. The series we've been waiting for is about to begin. Two and a half months ago, we buried this team. I did a eulogy. I basically did on the air. And this team has risen out of the ashes. And they open a series tonight in Carolina, which is a best 4 out of 7. And Watson, I'm going to go with the theory that I have had. Games 1 and 2 are in Raleigh tonight and Wednesday night. I think in one of the two, the Predators will be in a position to steal a game. And if they steal it, it's going to be a great series. And if they don't, it might not be.
I'm sticking to what I said. It's going at least 6 either way. So I think it's going to be a great series. And we might just win tonight. We just might win tonight. Did you happen to see, you guys get to watch that one yesterday with Tampa and Florida?
No, I didn't get to see it.
What a great game. I loved it. There is a difference in playoff hockey. I'll tell you right now, man, did they get after each other. I mean, I loved it. And Tampa Bay, it was Tampa Bay. I mean, they're down 4-3 and 3-2 and 4-3 and end up winning 5-4 in the last 5 minutes. And the last goal that, is it Platt? Is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what a goal. He got a steal and got a breakaway. And he moved it about 3 times and slid it slowly between his legs. I mean, unbelievable goal. So get ready, George. We're fixing to see some big-time hockey. And they had fights all over that ice. Now, I mean, you talk about getting after each other. They got after each other.
Here's one for you. There were 4 playoff games yesterday. All 4 road teams won. Here was one late last night. To quote our boy Terry Crisp, Calgary was about to blow out Vancouver, and a funny thing happened. They were up 5-1 at the end of 2. Vancouver scored 4 goals in regulation to send the game to OT and then lost it 6-5.
Oh.
How about that?
Watching the games, did it seem like there weren't a lot of fans, or as much that the Preds are letting in? I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah. Vegas like went with about 9,000. That was the most I saw.
At a couple of those games, it didn't seem.
Go ahead, Watson.
But
I thought I read where the Preds are going to have the most of any team.
They might. They're going to 12,000.
I think I read that they were number one in number of fans that'll be in the arenas.
I think it'll make a difference.
Oh, I think it'll make a difference, too. I've been to enough playoff games with this team, with this franchise, to know if the fan base is given half a chance, and I guess what I mean by that is if they could come home 1-1 where they steal a game in Raleigh, they will blow the roof off the place. That's what I think.
The one that surprised me yesterday was the Florida crowd. That state has been pretty open for a while. And it looked like, I didn't watch it early enough to hear him say what was there, but it looked like 4,000 maybe, George, to me.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it looked like. Might have been a little more than that.
Which is awesome.
Which I'm surprised by. You know, North Carolina, that's been a little slower state to loosen things up. So I can see why the Hurricane won't have what the Preds are going to have. But Florida, being the state they've been, I'm very surprised at the number of people they're letting in.
This story out of Denver, the Broncos have hired Kelly Klein as the executive director of football operations and special advisor to general manager George Payton. Klein is 30 years old. She is believed to be the highest ranking female scouting executive ever with an NFL team. Watson, when I read this, this would never have happened 10 years ago.
No. You're right. It sure wouldn't, George.
She's young, too. Only 30.
Pretty amazing.
Yeah, amazing.
Got this piece of news. Marv Albert calling it quits at the end of this playoff season for the NBA. Adam Silver saying in a statement, there is no voice more closely associated with NBA basketball than Marv Albert's. He will retire after calling the NBA's Eastern Conference Final ending a career that began in radio in 1963. Oh, Patrick Ewing and the Knicks.
That's not bad, George.
Rejected. He loves rejected. Marv Albert.
It's
wow.
It's his yes.
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 Called 8 Super Bowls and 8 Stanley Cup Finals.
How old do you figure he is?
He's got to be at least 80.
I just looked. He turns 80 next month.
There you
okay.
go. Okay. Grace, what a career.
Good for him. You know what? We should all wish to be doing that at 80.
No, thank you. You can wish it. I don't.
Albert Pujols has signed with the Dodgers, moving 30 miles north to extend what is a first ballot Hall of Fame career. He's 41 years old. He can't run a lick. That part we do know. I don't know what he's got left or what he doesn't. I do find it interesting that it is the Dodgers who have decided to go after him. I thought if anybody would pick him up, it would be the Cardinals in sort of a sentimental ride home with an adoring fan base.
I wonder how much they're going to have to pay him.
League minimum.
Well, there you go.
Because what ends up happening in that, the Angels are on the hook for all the money.
Right, right. And all is all that money guaranteed in baseball?
Yes. This is not football.
No.
Baseball would never have gone for this.
And the sport that should be guaranteed is football, as dangerous as it is.
Yeah.
And they're not.
I wish good things for Albert Pujols. I think it would be great if he ended this thing on a good run. I do wish the Cardinals had brought him back. He is adored in St. Louis. And it would have been such a cool, emotional story. When the Angels played there, I think it was 2 summers ago, 3-game series in St. Louis, he was treated like, it was basically like royalty, like head of state. Every at-bat had a standing ovation. On Sunday at the end, I've never seen anything like it. It was really emotional.
I wonder why they didn't then, because you know it had to be talked about. You know in some office somebody said something
sure.
about it.
I think if the NL had the DH, I think they would have signed him.
Right.
I don't know that, but that's just my gut feeling. And finally, the NCAA Council is not likely to recommend passage of formal name, image, and likeness legislation this week at its upcoming meeting, according to CBS Sports. This inaction would come just days after NCAA President Mark Emmert urged membership to pass such legislation by July 1 as pressure mounts nationally with NIL laws in 6 individual states going into effect on that date. Watson, where's this going now?
I don't know. You tell me.
I don't have a clue.
We might need Jack Waddy back on.
Yeah, Watson, we had...
I don't get it.
We had my attorney that represented me in the Cumulus case, Jack Waddy, mm-hmm. on with us on Friday, and Jack kind of likes it. He likes this. I don't. I think this is absolute Armageddon for college athletics.
Well, we talked a little bit into some things with Wright the other day, and I just – when college athletics loses its image of amateurism, to me, George, it's over.
Yeah.
It's over, and I think we're losing it. And it's unfair because we're talking about such a small group of people. The parts that I talk with Wright about, I'm talking about just the such a small group of guys that are going to make really big money. How about the FCSs and Michael's division? I just don't get it. I don't get it.
I'm with you, Watson. I think in a sense it takes out, the purity of the game. And I just think it's going to be a shock to a lot of people when this thing does get passed and not near as many people are getting paid from the smaller schools as maybe they thought.
We'll stop here on that note. 2:23 is the time. Here's what we're doing today. Football Chalk Talk with Watson and Michael from 2:20 to 3:20. We'll get into a variety of football issues that they may have some opinions on. Mark McGee will join us at 3:25. We'll talk about the Preds and the Carolina Hurricanes. And then Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin at 4:30. His club lost 2 out of 3 over the weekend to the Ole Miss Rebels. The NBA play-in tournament gives some teams one last shot to make the playoffs, but everyone can bet this round risk-free on FanDuel Sportsbook. It doesn't matter if you're new to FanDuel or already have an account. FanDuel is teamed up with basketball legends Charles Barkley and Kenny Smith to make sure you'll get your money back if you don't win. That's any user, any bet type, any game. The NBA play-in tournament is going down May the 18th through the 21st, and FanDuel just made it even more exciting. It's all part of FanDuel's Play-In Palooza. So if you already have a sportsbook account, just open the app and opt in to claim your risk-free bet. And if you're new to FanDuel, sign up with promo code WNSR to get your first bet risk-free up to 1,000 smackaroonies. $1,000 exclusively on the FanDuel Sports app. 21 plus and present in Tennessee. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. New user risk-free bet for first real money wager only, and refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problems? Call TN Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Recently, I took a look at my patio, and I knew I needed help. That's when I contacted my buddy Jeff Holsapple, and you know what? My patio now looks great. He pressure washed, he did all of the things involving the small crack repair, and you know what? My patio has never looked better. He's been in this for more than 20 years. He knows what he's doing. You contact him at 785-0319 or email jeffholsapp@gmail.com. One of the real joys of growing up in Nashville has been the visit to the flea market. And like a lot of things that are going on in our world right now, stuff has been turned upside down. The flea market staff misses you. They want you to know that. But for your convenience, during this downtime, they have set up a virtual flea market. You can go on the website, virtualnashvilleflea market.com, to get more details. And for more information, visit the website, thefairgrounds.com/flea market. Now, where does all of this get into sports? I'm about to tell you. The folks at the flea market will be the weekly sponsor of the Metro Nashville High School Football Report. It'll air each week, Friday, 2:25 p.m. Join us, and when things get better, go visit the flea market.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together. I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Your exclusive National Sports Radio WNSR SkyScan forecast. Today's going to be mostly cloudy with a high of 82. Clouds and a stray shower or thunderstorm tonight, low 62. For Tuesday, mostly cloudy, chance for a shower or thunderstorm, high near 80. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on National Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's meteorologist, Jim Rinaldi.
Sports Radio WNSR.
This is the George Plaster Show. Call now, 844-5600 on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
229 it is. We're going to get a football chalk talk going until around 320 this afternoon. We are still about 3.5 months away from the start of the college football season, but I don't get many opportunities to have a scholarship football player in our studio, and we have that with Michael Sendrick, who plays at Division II Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas. And, of course, Watson Brown with us, as is the case every day. So, Michael, let me start with you. I want to get some discussion going about targeting. In my heart, I know there's a reason that the targeting rule exists. Because football has become, as we learn more about concussions, a very dangerous game with some real side effects that aren't pretty. So I get that we need targeting. I get that we need the rule. But at the same time, there are plays that I see where a player gets nailed for targeting, where I sit there and I ask myself, could the player have done anything to avoid this? And the answer I come up with in some cases is there's not a doggone thing that player could have done. He is simply hung out to dry. Talk to me about it.
Well, I totally agree. And, you know, being on the offensive side of the ball, even though offensive guys usually aren't getting called for targeting, I'm still with you just for the entire game of football. Now, obviously, 100% for player safety, you know, no hit to the head is worth – it's not worth it. You know, you obviously it's not worth it when you hear a guy has CTE 20 years after he's done playing. So absolutely in it for protecting the players. But I agree with you. I think there's a difference that we see. There are some plays that are absolutely malicious, that a guy is trying to take somebody's head off and he uses the crown of his helmet. But then there's others, and it's the reality that football is a game of people flying around and a lot is moving and nothing is usually set in stone. And it is a constantly moving sport in a play. And so to be able to, you have so much going on as a player already in your head, and then to also be telling yourself not to hit somebody in a certain way when they do this or this, it gets really hard. And I think, you know, there's no perfect solution. I think if it was up to me, I would love to see something like the NBA with a flagrant one and flagrant two. If I could see some revision in the rule. Because I think you've got to be able to distinguish when is it malicious and when is it a running back ducks down and a player, you know, he's already that low to the ground. It happens that his helmet is the first to hit. I just think there has to be some give there. There has to be some balance. I'm not sure that they would do it like the NBA, but would love to see a flagrant one, flagrant two, where somebody can get ejected for it if it's malicious. And if it's not, it's still a 15-yard penalty. But an ejection can really alter a game if it's any of these big players.
So, Watson, what does the coaching community feel about targeting?
I would say when it first came out, everybody was 100% behind it, even though it was it could change a game by what happened. And it did make the coaching profession change the way that they tackled, change the way that you attack the ball in the air with a receiver. In days when I first started coaching, George, you taught to tackle with leading with your face mask. Now, you've never taught the top of your head, but we taught tackling by leading with your face mask. And that's targeting in today's world. So we all had to go back to shoulder pad tackling. I was in my late years at Tennessee Tech when this came into play. And you went back to shoulder tackling. Got the head out. Well, that was a good thing, in my personal opinion. Now that we've gone through that, in my opinion, we need to back off a little bit and still have targeting, and you can leave the rule as stiff as it is because you've got to get rid of those nasty hits that cause paralyzation or concussions that affect you the rest of your life or whatever. But to me, they've gone, we need to back off of it. Meaning, if a back's coming at you or a receiver's coming at you, you go to tackle him, and you don't tackle him with the top of your head, I just don't think that should be targeting. Targeting to me is when you leave your feet and throw your head first into a guy. Targeting is when a guy's hung out to dry, like a quarterback, and you throw your head at a guy. But when you're... it's a bang-bang play, and you're running with the ball. Those are the ones that I think, if you want to keep it as a 15-yard penalty because you led with your head, okay. The other thing that I've always thought, and I've yet to see one call, when the running back or the receiver turns upfield and runs with the ball, and he ducks his head into you, where you got to tackle him? There's no place to tackle him. So, to me, then, who created the targeting? The offensive player created the targeting by coming at you with his helmet first in a low, spearing kind of way, trying to get that extra 2 or 3 yards or whatever. But to me, I would get rid of that one. I wouldn't put it on offense. I wouldn't put it on the defense. I would do the vulnerable ones, receiver up in the air, and you just leave your and lead with your helmet. Those are the ones that were the most dangerous anyway. And, you know, we're trying to get rid of the bad, bad situations physically, George. So, man, I don't want to do that. I do not want to go back and get rid of that. But I would like to revisit it even more and just have a 15-yard penalty, but don't call it targeting.
Watson, we're going to put you on the phone because we're getting way too much background stuff today. So we're going to get back to you here in just a minute. Continuing the conversation that involves targeting with Michael Sindrick, do your DBs at all say, do you hear them yapping that, hey, I'm being hung out to dry, the rule applies only to defense and not to offense?
Absolutely. We had a play. We had two plays that I vividly remember from 2 years ago. One, our linebacker was on a blitz right up the middle coming for the quarterback. And the quarterback was standing tall in the pocket. Our linebacker was aiming for about his midsection. And the quarterback in the last seconds, you know, dips and his knees almost buckle and throws it. And it ends up that his face mask drops right to where our guy was. And you go watch on the film. And, you know, the quarterback's elevation was the one that changed. Our linebacker was completely through the hip, and he got ejected for targeting. And then the other one was a kind of like what Watson was saying, a running back had turned the corner, and this running back was about 5'10", and ducks and bends real, real low, as they should. Our safety comes flying in, and the only place you can really hit there is the helmet, and he got ejected for it. And it was exactly what Watson was saying. So the defensive backs there are kind of just like, what's the right, how would you like me to tackle this guy? Our coaches have been great, right? Obviously, they want nothing malicious. But in those scenarios, when there's really, it puts them at risk to not tackle like that. You know, it's one of those things like, hey, it's a rule. It's not necessarily you. But it's frustrating for our defensive backs. It's hurt us twice in the last 2 years.
I know we've got Watson Brown back on with us. Watson, some people know it, some don't. You were coach on the other side of the ball when the Chucky Mullins situation happened that ultimately led to his passing a year and a half, 2 years later. Do you think your opinions about targeting and some of the violence that football brings us, you think your opinions would be different if you had not been on that sideline?
Maybe so, George. I knew that was serious as soon as it happened. And so maybe so. I also had a player on my staff when the Citadel kid, the Nick Bonacani's son, I had one of my assistants that was there that day when that one happened, and he was on the Citadel. No, he was playing against the Citadel that day. So I've had two incidences of that, and I've just seen so many ugly ones through 46, however many years I coached, of ugly hits that were scary. So I lean the other way. I do, but I think we're hurting our game a little bit by taking it too far. I just think they now, after they've gotten everybody's attention, and the first one they had to get the attentions of were coaches. Well, they got it. And I'm pretty sure I'm right, George. I don't think I ever had a targeting player. And I think I had to deal with it for 5 years after it was put in. I don't think I ever had one call for targeting. At any time. So it got my attention, the way we tried to teach the tackling. It does hurt the defense. And when you're, I think where it hurts the defense, only way it hurts the defense, in my opinion, is when you're going for a ball. And you either got to go for the ball or you're trying to knock the ball loose as he catches the ball. And that one took a little bit away, but it was a good takeaway, in my opinion, because, man, I've seen some, most of the bad ones have either been on kickoffs that I've seen or a receiver that's hung up. And you remember Chucky Mullins hit Brad Gaines in the back, and Brad was going up, we're running four verticals, and Michael will know what I mean by that. And the ball is thrown a little bit to the outside of the hash, and there Brad had to turn his body sideways to catch the ball. Chucky was coming from being a free safety, and he caught him in the small of the back with Chucky, top of Chucky's helmet. So this time it ended up getting the defensive player on the play. So you're probably right, George. From being there and watching that and then knowing what all went down after that with it, it's probably, I'm probably one of the more conservative guys on this.
Watson, I've got 90 seconds before the break. Michael threw out the NBA's flagrant one and flagrant two. If you presented that to the whole body of college football coaches, what would their vote be on what he just proposed?
Well, I think that's what I am proposing. I'm proposing that there's an unnecessary roughness on those low, come straight at you type things, and the vulnerable, hung out to dry ones be the targeting calls. So I guess, in essence, I'm saying flagrant one, flagrant two. I'm just calling it unnecessary roughness. And it's a 15-yard penalty, and then targeting is 15 plus an ejection. So I guess that's what I'm saying, so I'm agreeing with Michael with that. And I think that it would fly with coaches.
We'll go to the break, and we'll come back and talk about what I believe has become the biggest problem going in the game of football. Stick around. My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. Well, I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to SirSpeedyMusicCity.com.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
Lynch Tree Service has been helping Middle Tennesseans for more than 25 years. Whether you need tree pruning and maintenance, stump grinding, or even land clearing, Lynch Tree Service is here to help. Their number one priority is to provide customers with the best tree services possible at an extremely competitive price. For more info, give them a call at 615-444-4676 or look them up on the web at lynchtreeservice.com.
Against all better judgment and no half-stepping, Redneck Nation is now full-time. Nashville Sports Radio is serving up the best coverage of your Nashville Predators. When the clock hits 5, the Renegades of Puck are on the air twice a day, a.m. or p.m. Every weekday at 5, Crazy Charlie and the Renegades of Puck give you Predneck Nation. If the clock says 5, Predneck Nation is on Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
Follow George Plaster on Twitter at GeorgePlasterTN. Now, back to the George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
2:45 as we welcome all of you back. A little football chalk talk. Even though we are still 3.5 months away from both the college and pro football season starting, it's not often that I can get both a player and a coach involved. Obviously, Coach Watson Brown is with us. So is Michael Sindrick, who is a Division II football player at Harding University. And given the fact that he's a wide receiver, he knows a lot about pass interference. Michael, when I was growing up, pass interference was a scenario where an official said, "That's pass interference. I got to throw a flag." Now, every play has pass interference, and the officials are trying to decide, in my opinion, degree of pass interference. Is the degree so egregious that I got to throw something?
Yeah, I think you're right. By the book, I think you're right. You know, something that's different is a lot of offensive players are doing the same thing. And so as an offensive player, I'm kind of almost with the defense on this, is if that offensive defender is going to hand fight with the defensive player has every right to do the same. And so that's part of it. But it's interesting to see, because it feels like the last 5 to 10 years we've seen more of it, George, of pass interference. It's really not getting called. People are being super physical. DBs are being really physical on the line. I think it has something to do with RPOs, the run-pass options coming in, because those really force a defense, if they can run them right,
out of a zone defense. So now you're kind of forcing defenses to play man, and a lot of these defensive coordinators aren't going to have their defensive backs playing 8 yards off, so they're telling them to come down and press these receivers. It's almost a response to these RPOs. And so when you have that, there's going to just be naturally a lot more one-on-one matchups between defensive backs and receivers. And with how good the receivers have been, how good the quarterbacks have been in college recently, they can put the ball anywhere they want. You're seeing a lot more physicality from defensive backs. They're trying to get some sort of edge. So I think that the shift in RPOs and kind of what that's forced defenses to do has led a little bit to just more opportunities for physical play between defensive backs and receivers.
Watson, I'm cynical enough to kind of ask this question. Part of what I see going on that is a problem is that officials don't take the bull by the horns at kickoff. When the captains meet at midfield or when the coaches meet with the officials ahead of time, the head official needs to say, look, we're not putting up with this. The first time I see hand fighting, I'm going to call it, and I'm going to keep calling it until you figure out that I'm serious. Would that change it at all in any particular game?
No, I think what has to happen is there's got to be more of a uniform policy across the country. You have all these different, see, officials are not like basketball. You have conference officials. And so you go from one conference to the other, and then you start really seeing differences in the way they do things. There needs to be some unification in it to me. I think it's gotten too physical. I don't think it makes the game more enjoyable to watch when both sides are pushing and shoving and the press man's and the way they teach it in today's world. I just think that it's gone too far, and I think it hurts the game, in my opinion, George, because people want to see a show put on. Look at the difference in the pass interference rule in the NFL compared to college football. Most everything from in the NFL, it's harder to do. Like in college football, you just got to get 1 foot in. In the NFL, you got to get 2 feet in to have a catch going out of bounds. Everything goes up except this rule. In this rule, they eased it up for the receiver. And the reason for that is they want more points scored. They want to see more offense. I think that they need to go back, and they don't have to go that far in college, but they're letting it go too far, in my opinion. And now I'm even starting to see these offensive receivers coaches are wanting to teach push and shove with your hands. I'm 100% against that. I've always taught you're going up for a ball, you're running down the sidelines, there's a fade route coming. If you use your forearm, they'll never call it on you. If you use your hands to push, you should get called for it. Well, now they're even letting wideouts do that, and I think that's a mistake. They need to back off from it on both sides and start calling more. The other thing I don't like is that it's a 15-yard penalty in college, and it's the spot of the ball in the NFL. If you go spot of the ball in college, you're going to see a lot less pass interference calls. These defensive back coaches are saying, here's a ball 50 yards in there, you're beat. Just pass interfere for them. We'd rather have it at 15 than we had 50. So there's two things I would do. I would first go to the NFL rule the way it used to be in college. And number two, and that's going to fix a lot of it. Number two, I would stop the just pushing and shoving and grabbing by both sides. I would back off of that in some way.
Watson, that's really interesting. I was just thinking about if should the NFL rule be in college. You know, it's interesting that NFL, the talent, there's not near as big of a gap. And so, right, if you're Alabama and you're playing Vandy, I mean, I'm throwing it deep to Devontae Smith or Jalen Waddle every single play, knowing eventually I'm going to get a call or I'm going to get a catch. So it's just interesting, you know, with the talent being such a bigger gap in college, I don't know what that rule would do. I don't disagree with you. I'm just trying to think about it and verbalize it a little bit. But it's just, I mean, it's harder than ever, I think, to play defense in football at the college level or in the NFL. You know, you've got new rules on the quarterback, which I think are good, but it's given a lot of teams 15 yards when in the past it wouldn't have. You know, you have targeting rules that have come in that are adding rule. You know, you have RPO game, and honestly, offense is kind of cheating by, you know, you got offensive linemen down the field that often isn't getting called. And so I think that some of these things have been responses by defenses who just feel like it's almost impossible to play defense now. They've got to start trying to cheat the rule a little bit to have a chance to slow down some of these offenses.
Pass interference. Watson, hold on to the thought, because I'm going to take the first segment of the 3 o'clock and continue this conversation.
Okay.
2:53, we'll wrap up hour number one when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham, Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
You know, there's nothing like watching a game with great weather, and there's always action going on at FanDuel Sportsbook. If you've never bet on baseball before, now's the perfect time to give it a shot. FanDuel letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. That's right. You lose your first bet, you still get $1,000 in site credit. This way you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is the number one American sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique fun bet types like same game parlays, and always on promotions to let you get more action out of every game, every day. And when you win with FanDuel, you're paying that your winnings in as little as 24. It's the cool thing about baseball, too. They got a bunch of games today. Download that FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with the promo code GREGP to get in on the action. That's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Greg P.
Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman Alligator Oil. Cayman oil is locally made, right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman oil can help you say, see you later, alligator, to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say, see you later, alligator, with Cayman Alligator Oil at mycayman.com. That's mycayman.com. mycayman.com.
You pledged your life to serve, to make our country stronger, safer, more free, more equal. You worked tirelessly, made sacrifices, missed first steps and birthdays, lost loved ones. At VA, we don't see the setbacks endured. We see lessons applied and passion driving you upward and forward. We don't see all the masks you wear, but we hope you can set some aside. We embrace your uniqueness and won't trivialize your past, your fears, or your hardships. We can't promise to heal all wounds or wash away all trauma, but we do see hope, a path forward, a future. We see all veterans. We see you. An opportunity to help you achieve a new mission, whatever that may be. Learn how treatment works and recovery is possible. Visit MakeTheConnection.net.
My buddy James Warren from Sir Speedy of Music City is with us. I was looking for a way a while back to get targeted messages to people who might be interested in listening to our daily show, and so I asked James for a little help. You take it from there.
So what we were able to do is come up with 7,000 names of people in Nashville and their addresses by zip code that are interested in spectator sports, football, baseball, that sort of thing. It was a pretty reasonable price, too, wasn't it, George?
Yes, it was. I got the BGA discount.
Yeah, so in other words, twice the normal. This is something that we do for all sorts of folks. We can sort it by zip code, by type of people, age, whatever, to make it get to the people that you want to get to. If you've got a new business, no better way to do it.
Sir Speedy of Music City, phone number 832-9511, or go to sirspeedymusiccity.com.
Sports exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast throughout the afternoon. Mostly sunny, temps near 75 and mostly clear overnight tonight. Lows near 50. Tomorrow, Saturday, a partly cloudy day. Temperatures in the mid-70s. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Download the WNSR app from your app store and take the George Blaster Show on the go from WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
Well, for those of you who have not heard it, the Titans have receiver issues. And one of the ways they have tried to go about fixing that today was to get really close to home and sign free agent and former Vandy wide receiver Kalijah Lipscomb. We'll talk with Terry McCormick about that. He will join us to start the 3 o'clock hour, but we'll also continue our conversation with Watson Brown and Michael Sindrick about pass interference, or what I believe is the biggest problem going right now in football. Every play feels like something's going on. Stay with us.
WPDQ Greensboro.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. President Biden saying that COVID-19 cases in the U.S. are down in all 50 states for the first time since the pandemic began. Keep up the vaccinations and the trend will continue, says the president.
If the unvaccinated get vaccinated, they will protect themselves and other unvaccinated people around them. If they do not, states with low vaccination rates may see those rates go up, may see this progress reversed.
Massachusetts and New York added to the list of states that will be lifting their mask mandates for the vaccinated in line with the new CDC guidelines. President Biden saying he's speaking to Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu this afternoon as the administration says it's engaged in quiet diplomacy to stop the violence between Israel and Gaza. In Southern California, the Palisades fire is a suspected arson, and now one person has been arrested. This is ABC News.
BC Powder knows life pushes us to the max. Work to the max. Family to the max. It can all mean pain to the max. So try new BC Max Strength. New BC Max relieves tough headaches and body pain at the speed of powder. Nothing stronger on pain without a prescription. Pain to the max? New BC Max. In a great tasting lemonade flavor. Available at Walgreens.
I need these boxes in bin 7. Oh, hello? Hi, I just wanted to call in and find out when...
Whitney's warehouse foreman just retired, and the replacement needs to move to fulfillment.
Hold on. Guys, can we get the dock cleared now?
Indeed can help her hire the people she needs.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. When you sponsor a job, you immediately get your short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Buying or selling a car is one of the biggest financial decisions you can make. That's why Edmunds has been taking the guesswork out of car shopping for over 50 years. Wherever you are in the process, Edmunds.com can help. They have tons of local listings for new and used vehicles with deal ratings that tell you if an offer is fair. And the free online tools can help you build your budget, calculate financing, or even get a free appraisal if you're selling or trading in. Not sure where to start looking? The Edmunds editorial team test drives over 300 new vehicles a year, reviewing almost every car on the market, so you can narrow down your search to their top-ranked SUVs, trucks, and more. And it's all about price, right? Price point. If you're selling or if you're buying, you know, you get that free online appraisal for your trade-in, and also the price checker makes you feel more confident with the price quotes that you're getting. Whether you're just browsing or know exactly what you want, Edmunds gives you that extra boost of confidence. Visit Edmunds.com to get started. For cars, there's Edmunds.
George Plaster, WMSR.
You are about to witness history in the making.
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
What horrible spirit-crushing thing are you going to tell me now?
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
Americans heard the news and went wild.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600, and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
3 o'clock hour is going to be a good one. I promise. We'll get into a little more football chalk talk with Watson Brown and Michael Sindrick, but let's say hello very quickly to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. Terry, how are you?
I'm doing well, George. How are you guys?
Good weekend for the Yankees?
Yeah, not bad. They blew it yesterday, but they won on Friday and Saturday, so 1-2 out of 3.
Okay, give me a gut feeling about Kalijah Lipscomb signing with the Titans, former Vandy wide receiver. It does seem that if you were going to handpick a place for him to have a shot to be looked at, it's got to be the Titans.
Yeah, I think so, because you know, he had a really good junior year at Vanderbilt, and then his draft stock took a major hit, along with his Vanderbilt and now Titans teammate Jared Pinkney, the tight end, because the quarterback play was so bad their senior year that they both took a serious, serious hit in terms of their production and their draft stock. He spent a little bit of time with the Chiefs and the Packers last year on their practice squads, and coming to the Titans, obviously behind A.J. Brown, Josh Reynolds, and maybe you can throw fourth-round pick Dez Fitzpatrick in there. There's some jobs to be had, shall we say, and some roles to be sorted out.
Oh, yeah. This appears to be a perfect scenario for him, because it's not as though the 27 Yankees outside of A.J. are lining up at that wide receiver slot. So, Terry, in the preseason, it's going to be important that he can make some things happen. What will they be looking for from him?
I think anytime you're a guy that's in a backup trying to earn a spot on the team, special teams is going to be a big, big key. He's going to have to show out there either as a gunner, a returner, whatever role he can muster there. And then beyond that, once he gets an opportunity on the field, even if it's against second and third teamers, he's got to be able to produce. He's got to know where to be, know when to be there, and then produce when that opportunity comes. When the football comes his way, he's got to be able to catch it and do some things with it. And then, obviously, with this team centered around Derrick Henry, he's going to have to be able to block as a wide receiver on this team.
Terry, we've been in a conversation about what I think has become the single biggest problem in the game of football, and that is pass interference. And as I said earlier, I feel like what's going on is, unlike when I was growing up and you would see an occasional pass interference, now you've got hand fighting on virtually every play. On the pro level, the rule is way different. Do the pro guys want that rule to go to college, or what is the sentiment?
Well, I think it probably depends on who you ask. If you ask the offensive players, they probably like it just like it is, because you know, there are going to be two or three pass interference flags per game minimum. If you're a defensive player, you obviously want to have a little bit more leeway, and you want them to, quote, let you play a little bit so that you can cut down. I mean, you know, nobody's going to be out there, you know, hounding somebody like Mel Blunt might have done in the 70s. But defensive backs today would like to be able to use their hands a little bit more and be able to do a little bit more press coverage and hand check down the field if they can. But the league just doesn't allow that, because if you don't get a pass interference call, you're going to get a defensive holding call.
Watson, I think I heard an answer out of you that makes it sound like maybe you know the book. And the book is that the rule PI, pass interference, is being called different in the SEC, for instance, than it might be called in the Pac-12. Give me what the book is on what conferences do what with that call.
I'd be unfair to just label one, but I will say this. I think the SEC is the stiffest of the places for the DBs. They let the DBs play more in the SEC than they do. You know, I know they let them play more maybe than they do in the Big 12. They let them play a little more than I think they do in the Pac-12. The Big Ten is probably the second closest to the SEC, but I do think there's a difference. I noticed a big difference from being in the OVC and then went and played in the playoffs. And when we went to the playoffs, I can't remember the, but it was much looser than what we, but they let the DBs do more in the playoffs. Now, some say, well, they ease up on all penalties in the playoffs. Well, I can tell you this, that conference was a lot easier when we played in that playoff game than they were in the OVC. The OVC was stiffer than that. I just would like to see it more uniform across the way, George and Michael. And I don't think it is unfair. I think if you're going to do it the same way everywhere. I'd just like to see it a little bit more like the NFL, and because I don't think receivers get to use their talents as much when it's just pushing and shoving going down the field by both of them. If you're watching it, I think it hurts the small guys more, and there's less of them being recruited because they're taking the bigger, stronger guys that can push, shove, and go up and get a ball. And I think it's taken out some little fast guys that are very, very talented that all of a sudden become a lot better player when they go to the NFL over what they are in college.
Michael, when it comes to targeting, the wide receivers have the advantage over the DBs because they can lower their head and do exactly what the defensive player is being penalized for, and they get away with it a lot. I've always believed that in pro football, the officials are much more willing to call offensive pass interference than they are in college, where I think you cheat.
Wow. Calling us a cheater over here, these receivers.
Well, I do think there are scenarios where the offensive guys in college get away with more.
100%. No, you're absolutely right. It's you know, and it's been a response. I think it's been a response to defensive backs that, hey, if they're going to have our, you know, a lot of times they can hide it. Defensive backs can hide it. They'll put their hand on your hip, you know, as they're running with you, or hold your hand back, hold your leg back as they're running. And so it's a response has been, well, if he's going to put his hand on me, I'm going to put my hand on his hip and throw him by for a catch. And it's just gotten a little bit out of hand. And I think we all want to see referees, umpires less in football, less in all sports, because we want to see players play. But at the same time, it might take a little, okay, take a step back. We need to call this really seriously for a year, get everybody's attention so that it hurts, so that then defensive backs, receivers can change their techniques. They're not going to get flagged as much in the ongoing year. So it might take a little, you know, taking a step back, being willing to call it, so that for the future of football, really what we want is referees, umpires to stay out of games.
I don't think Watson was buying my premise that if an officiating crew either went on the college level to the head coaches or to the captains when they meet for the coin toss and said, look, we're not putting up with your crap today. The first time you put a hand on a receiver, we're going to nail you. And receivers, the first time you do it, we're getting you.
Well,
do you think
I disagree with that, because I think it needs to be more uniform than that. You shouldn't have one set of officials one day saying this and then the next game they don't. There needs to be some uniformity to the whole pass interference. When we change rules in college, most all of them are for the health of the game. You say there's not been any offensive change. There's been a ton of offensive change. They did away with crackback blocks. They've done away with blocking below the waist everywhere on the offensive side of the ball. They've done away with the chop block, which triple option teams live by for years and years and years. All of those were done away with because of injury. If it doesn't change to help the health of a player, I don't think the rule ought to be strengthened. If anything, they ought to let them play to where we don't have the pushing and the shoving, because somebody could end up getting hurt from that before it's all said and done. George, you remember when we upset LSU here in Nashville back when I was the head coach?
Oh, yeah.
There was a throw in the end zone on the last play of the game. And was it Kitchens? I can't remember.
It was Kitchen, Todd Kitchen.
Kitchen, yes, Kitchen. And catches the ball, and we lose. And he pushed our guy completely in the back and knocked him down, and they called it, believe it or not. And you don't ever see that called on the last play of a game. But it would have cost us a big upset. And so it is call some. I just think if you're going to get it under control, you got to have some uniformity to it. And the way you fix it with coaches, this is the way they try to do it. You come to the two scrimmages, or three, somehow two. Before we always had an SEC crew at every one of those scrimmages. And they show you how they're going to call stuff. It lets your players see exactly what's going to go down during the season. And we'd even bring in the whole crew to talk to our team. Okay, back judge, tell us exactly how you're going to call this. We did that every year. You can get this under control. There just needs to be uniformity to it. I agree with you. It is an issue.
Going back to kind of what Michael was saying, and Watson, tell me if you agree with this, but when he was talking about how, you know, things kind of get emphasized, you know, if they're going to call this a certain way and call that, do you think referees sometimes make an overemphasis of it to make sure that they get your attention and know that this thing is going to be a point of emphasis for this season, this certain type of block or this certain type of hold, that sort of thing? Sort of like what Major League Baseball did one year, that there were about 100 balks the first month of the season.
Michael, I'll go first on that. To me, that goes back to what I'm saying, uniformity. There's a way you're going to call it. It's taught everywhere the same way. You let everybody know, if it is in the first game, here's what it's going to be, guys. And then you keep it that way in every game, and you don't change it late in the game over what it is in the first quarter. Georgia can remember when I lost the game against Alabama, where the defensive back mauled my receiver in the end zone to win the game here in Nashville. And it was blatant pass interference, and it was not called. There's got to be uniformity, and the fault was that everybody said, well, it's late in the game. They're not going to be as tight on it. Why? What's the difference in the first quarter and the fourth quarter? And what's the difference in the regular season and the playoffs? It should be the same across the board. Do I sound like a coach or what?
Well, Watson, I'm with you on the uniformity thing. The gray area is what is so frustrating, and it's not just pass interference. It's, you know, unsportsmanlike conduct. You know, you get to some games and the referee, you know, that before you even get out there on the field is telling you if you look at a player wrong, it's 15. And then others basically let you hit a guy with your own helmet 15 times over the head. They won't call it. And so it's this reality that there's a ton of gray area with a lot of these calls. And I think it shouldn't even be a conference by conference thing, because the second that you have bowl games or teams playing teams out of conference, it's completely, some teams have been playing way more physical than others and been getting away with it. And then some play touch and it's a penalty. And so I think you're right about the uniformity thing. And I think with a lot of rules that the referees, the umpires need to get together and say, how are we going to call this? Cause it needs to all be the same, not just Big 12, Big 10, SEC. It needs to all be uniform across the board. And then receivers and defensive backs can adjust accordingly to that. Not trying to figure out, okay, are they going to call more or less this game? What can we get away with?
Watson, on the college level, is there a national governing board of officiating?
There's a governing board that's got coaches on it that set the rules, but there is no governing board on how you call the rule.
Don't you think that's a mistake?
what I think needs to happen is they need to get all of these crews together, not SEC with SEC. Put them all. Have a big convention, if you want to say it, at the start of every year, and have about a three-day where you stand up and everybody hears exactly how it should be called across the country, and then you keep it the same. That's why basketball is a little closer to being uniform, because it's not a you don't just call for one conference in basketball. You can be used at a lot of different places. Now, they're starting to get closer and closer to that. I've got a close friend here in Cookeville that calls. He says most, I probably 75-80% in the Big 12. So they're working their way to that. The little difference, Michael, with the pushing and the shoving and all of that happens from I can see differences there, because when you got rivals that have all already got built up coming in before this game even played, there I do think there's times when the officials should get both coaches or maybe captains before the game and say, hey, okay, here's what I'm doing, fellas. You won't start that crap, it ain't happening today. That, to me, is a little bit different than a pass interference call.
Watson, do you think, just looking at pass interference and these calls, do you think that it should be, these things should be reviewable? Because I think there's pros to that, but I think there's definitely cons to that as well, with starting, being able to start reviewing penalties and stuff like that. What are your thoughts on that as a coach?
Oh, heavens, no, I'm not for that. You're going to slow the game down. Every time there's pass interference, they're going to review it.
100%.
I mean, you just can't. The NFL tried that and didn't like it. You can't go there. Those judgment calls are what they are. They're judgment calls, and we've got to rely on the officials to try to be as close to making the call the same all over the country as it can be, in my opinion. But I'm for less reviews than we have now, Michael, so you probably hit the wrong guy for that one.
Well, no, I agree with you. The reviews slow everything down.
Do you all have review?
Not in Division II in the regular season games. If it was like a playoff or something like that, I think they could use review if they have it. But I'm with you, Watson. It slows down the game way too much. You basically take off the need for referees if you're just going to review everything. And I'm not a fan of it.
Let's go to the break on that at 3:20. After the break, Mark McGee will join us. We'll talk about the Preds' opening round playoff series, and we hope it's one of several. But they've got Godzilla. They got the Carolina Panthers, the Carolina Hurricanes tonight. Game one in Raleigh at 7:00 Nashville time. Watson, let's you and I talk a little Jody Jones dentistry.
George, you want to talk Jody Jones dentistry? Start with where it is. It's in downtown Nashville, close to Music Row. You're going to give the addresses and all that here in just a second. But when you pull in, and you just pull in right by the building, which you can't do in Nashville about anywhere, get out, walk a couple of steps up, and you're in the building, and then you open the door to that facility. It tells you all about Jody Jones Dentistry. It's a first-class place. It reaps first class as soon as you open the door, and the family feel you get from all the staff, everybody. You just feel like you're in the right place. I'm going to be taken care of. I can relax and have fun with this. I mean, all the pictures of all the athletes and country music stars that have been in Jody's building and he's worked on or with or whatever, and all their children that they bring in there, all the big screen TVs as you sit around, the massage chairs that you can sit around and relax in before you go in to have your work done. It's all first class, and that's Jody. That's why he's the best in town. And it's where everybody needs to go.
And with that in mind, here is that new location, that state of the art, beautiful facility that Jody has put together. It's 55 Music Square East. If you want to set up an appointment, it's really pretty simple. Dial them up at 615-259-5100. And if you need to learn more about their practice, go to JodyJonesDDS.com.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference. before, during, and after disasters such as hurricanes, tornadoes, floods, or wildfires. So when disaster strikes, you want to be prepared to protect them. Be sure to microchip or tag your pets. Never leave them behind in a major crisis, and be sure to have an emergency kit ready in your home at all times with a pet crate or carrier, leash, blanket, ID, and medications, their water bowl, and 7 to 10 days worth of food. To find out how to protect your entire family during a disaster and help our best friends in their worst times, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
When the forgotten poor are in need of healing, they wait for a ship unlike any other. Mercy Ships, a floating hospital staffed by volunteers, heroes of mercy who donate their time to save lives.
Every human has the right to have a place at the table of the human race.
If you could just see the smiles that you get when lives have been changed, then it would make it all worth it.
To learn more about Heroes of Mercy, go to mercyships.org.
George Plaster and Watson Brown to talk with you about a friend of ours, Jody Jones Dentistry. And Watson, we've both visited this beautiful new studio he has in the Music Row area. Man, it is spectacular.
It sure is. And I've known Jody George since he was a kid. His mom and dad, Doug and Lucy, are as good of friends as I have. It was an honor to coach Jody at Vanderbilt. And Jody was one of those tough guys, very smart, highly competitive, unbelievable work ethic. It does not surprise me that he's had a wonderful dentist practice as he does.
22 years worth, and it includes cosmetic dentistry, veneers, crowns, laser bleaching, and they have a hygiene department with microscope technology. If you want an appointment, you simply call them at 615-259-5100 or go on their website, jodyjonesdds.com.
No time to drive through? Get Slim's delivered. Our hand-breaded tenders, perfectly fried wings, southern sides, and even sweet treats. All delivered right to your door. Just order online or through the Slim Chickens app and select delivery. Whether you're driving through, pulling up for curbside service, or now getting it delivered, Slim's has you covered. Download the Slim Chickens app and order online.
With 3 locations in Murfreesboro, Mount Juliet, and Hendersonville.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout the afternoon, mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures near 80. 20% chance of showers overnight tonight with mostly cloudy conditions. Lows low 60s and 30% chance of showers on Tuesday. Temperatures near 80. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
WNSR 3:26 is the time. Mark McGee joining us for his normally weekly visit on the show, but this week you'll hear him every day. Gee, how are you?
You're going to pay the extra, right?
Absolutely. By the way, have you heard the latest out of Hotlanta?
No, I have not. Talk about the pitcher that broke his hand?
Yes, I just found out about it.
Yeah.
I pretty much threw up during the break.
2 months out, I think?
Yeah.
Is what they're saying?
The Braves have placed right-hander Waskar Enoa on the 10-day injured list with a fractured right hand. They have recalled Edgar Santana from AAA Gwinnett. They will start lefty Tucker Davidson tomorrow night. God, what else can happen? He broke a bone in his pitching hand when he punched the dugout bench in frustration after coming out of Sunday's game. He will be out a couple of months, according to manager Brian Snitker. It's a shame. Probably nobody that feels any worse than him. Gee, I would argue If the All-Star game were today, he'd be on that team.
Oh, yeah, and fans are feeling a lot worse than he is right now because, like you say, what else could happen to the Braves right now?
So, yeah.
I mean, that, he showed that bench, though. I mean, he showed it up, so makes no sense. But
here we go. So, guys, let's each ask Mark a question, and then we'll see how much time we've got left. Gee, yesterday, in kind of an unusual deal, all four of the road teams in the playoffs in the NHL were victorious. What do you make of that?
Yes. It shows the home court advantage, home ice advantage is not what it's cracked up to be sometimes. It's all about being ready to play. I mean, you got Minnesota winning 1-0. I mean, who would have thought that over Vegas? You got Washington winning. You got our friend Barry Trotz winning the Islanders over the Penguins, which was not expected. And it's interesting so far. And the Tampa Florida game, what a game that was.
Watson,
what roller coaster ride?
What do you got for Gee?
Yeah, I think that the home court advantage, home ice advantage, it means nothing unless you're the Preds right now because I watched the Tampa game hard yesterday. I watched it all. There weren't that many people in the stands, and they didn't have a home ice advantage other than sleeping at home the night before the game. So I think you throw that out and. With all four winning yesterday, it's exactly what I'm saying. Throw out the records. They're all too equal when it comes to this time of year, and the Preds got every bit of shot at the Hurricanes as the Hurricanes got at the Preds. That's the way I feel about it.
Oh, yeah. Well, the PNC Center is going to have like 10,000 to 12,000 tonight, and they've already started partying there, I understand the parking lots are pretty much full already with people getting ready for the big game, so...
So they're having 12,000.
I'm sorry?
Are you talking about the Hurricanes tonight?
Yeah, Hurricanes. Yeah, PNC Center's where they play in Raleigh. They've got about 10,000 to 12,000 people in the arena tonight. So.
Oh.
And they've already started tailgating this afternoon. They're getting ready to go.
Terry?
Mark, I know that the Predators would be satisfied with a split of these first couple of games in Raleigh. But from just the standpoint of momentum, how important would it be for them to deliver the first punch and get a win tonight and set the momentum for the series?
Well, I think it's very important because you put Carolina on their heels quickly by getting a win. I think a win tonight is crucial in this series because nobody's given Nashville a chance. And, but I look back to 2017. Everybody talks about 2017 when they went to the finals. You know, Chicago had 109 points, and Nashville swept them 4-0. You know, and had two shutouts in that series. And, 10 of those players on that team are back this year. I mean, back for this round. So, I mean, just because of what teams do, like I said, I think last week, just because a team's got a lot of points in the regular season, it's a whole new season now. They're two hockey seasons, regular season and Stanley Cup season. The Stanley Cup season is a lot tougher. Yeah, they need to set the pace today. It's all on UC Saros' shoulders.
Mark, I've got a question for you. Let's say hypothetically, if Carolina comes out slow tonight, and whether they barely squeak by the Preds or they lose outright, what do you think is the biggest factor there? Do you think it's the time off that they've had? Because they haven't played in a week, but obviously, even a week ago when they did play, a lot of their starters weren't playing. So do you think it's the time off that could be a reason there? Or do you think it's also the fact that they lost to Chicago and then dropped two to Nashville to end the season? It's more of a confidence thing. What do you think is the bigger factor?
I don't know if it's a confidence thing or not, because, I mean, as we talked before, the last game, once they lost the chance to get the President's Cup, they kind of lost a little interest in the last game or two, and they had a lot of their main players were not in the lineup that last night, but against the Predators in the 5-0 shutout by Rene. But I think that they're confident. They're definitely confident in what they. I think they're. Somebody said in their locker room they have a sign that says on one side it says "earn one," and on the other side says "did you."
So they're pumped and ready to go. They're pumped and ready to go. So, but I think that, like I said, they've got to win this first game. They've got to come out, and they can't race Carolina up and down the ice because Carolina's just too fast for them. They're going to have to slow down the game. They can't get sluggish. The Predators are going to have to slow down the game. The defense is going to be a huge, huge key to this one. And they've got to stay out of the penalty box. The Hurricanes have the third best penalty kill at 85.2 in the league. And, you know, the power play is the second best in the league. The Predators have to stay out of the penalty box in this game.
Mark McGee joining us for what normally is a weekly Preds visit, but this week we're going to hear from him a lot as the playoff series in Carolina begins. So, Mark, it seems to me that one of the things that the Preds have going for them, if you're looking for good mojo, is the fact that with the season ending a month later than normal, this has allowed them to get a bunch of their people back off the injury list.
That's true. And Rob Brindamore, the Carolina coach, kind of addressed that yesterday. He said that, you know, he talked about all the injuries that Nashville had, and he said the majority of the games the Carolina played against Nashville didn't, the Predators did not have a full complement of players that weren't that healthy. He says now that they're a full team, a pretty healthy team right now, you know, they're a force to be reckoned with. And so, you know, the Hurricanes have up and taking notice of the fact that the team is pretty much, they're probably much, other than the probably opening night, they're probably about as healthy as they have been all season.
Watson?
Mark, I said last week that I didn't know that it helped us by beating Carolina both of those times, and I thought both of them were a little bit overblown. The last one, both teams set a lot of people down, and it was Pekka's night, and everybody was playing for Pekka, and we had an advantage. I thought we had an advantage in the game before because being coaching teams for as long as I have, there's got to be motivation to play, and Carolina was playing for nothing on that Monday night or Sunday, whichever one it was, and we were playing to get in the playoffs. So exactly, I'm not sure both of those weren't blown up a little bit, yet we won both games, and I think it might open a sleeping giant. And we're sure not going to catch them off guard.
No, that's not going to happen at all. Carolina really, they've been working for this, and a lot of people feel like they may be the best team in the league right now. So they've got four lines that are strong. They roll those lines, and you know, they can score from anywhere. They're dangerous across all over the ice. They're using like three goaltenders right now, and they've all done pretty well for the Hurricanes. So, actually, a backup, I get his name escapes me, the backup really came through big time for them. Well, Masaryk, their number one goaltender, was out for a while. But so they're deep there. But, you know, it's going to be all about two things for the Predators. UC Saros has to step up again, and David Poirier did this the other day as well. He said this: if UC Saros wants to solidify himself as our number one goaltender, this is the series to do it in. So a lot of this pressure is going to be on UC Saros' shoulders. As a matter of how he responds, he's been a hot goaltender. He's 18-6-1 his last few games. He's got 1.88 goals against average and 941 save percentage. And if he can keep on playing like that, that's great. A good goaltender, a great goaltender, the one that's really hot, can take a team past that first series and take them deep into the playoffs. So it's a lot of it's on him. There are five other players on the ice with him, but he is the one where everybody's going to be looking at to step up and stand on his head again.
Terry?
Well, Mark, you nailed it right there with Saros, but aside from him, who's a player or two that really needs to have a good series in order for the Preds to be able to pull this off? I know one of them probably needs to be Philip Forsberg.
Well, yeah, Forsberg's a leading scorer. He needs to have a strong series. Eli Tolman is not playing tonight, I think. It hasn't officially been said yet. The speculation is he won't play. because Arvidsson's healthy, and but Arvidsson is definitely going to be back in the lineup tonight after missing the last five games. So, and Hines, John Hines is talking about, you know, that who plays tonight may not play the next game, and so players that you might not expect to be out may be out. So it's really hard to say how that's going to go. But one thing that's been a constant, and they've started almost every game lately, is that fourth line, the herd line, but Hines likes to call them the identity line because they do kind of set the identity for the Predators. And that's Colton Sissons and Jakob Trivin and Tanner Jadot and Matthew Oliver. So, you know, that group, three of those guys are going to play tonight in some form. And, you know, they've kind of set the pace for the team. They're about to go out and hit people like they normally do. They're about to score. They've set the pace a lot this season, especially late in the season. They're about to do that again. Mikael Granlund has been hot. He needs to stay hot. And he really needs something out of Johansson and Duchesne. You know, they've got to step up and play like the money they have earned. They got to earn the money they get paid in this series.
Mark, if game one and two go south for the Predators, and let's say Saros gets absolutely blitzed, is there any scenario you see the Preds rolling out Pekka for game three if Saros struggles, or do you see he's the guy for the entire series?
I think you've got to go with Saros, most the whole way unless something happens. I mean, I think you've got to let him carry it. You know, if Saros kind of falters in the first two games to make a change, maybe you put Pekka in. But I think, you know, everybody's pointing to Saros. I mean, like Paul said, this is Saros' time. He's got it. This is his stage and spotlight. And if he wants to be the number, he wants to make sure everybody thinks he's the number one goaltender for the Predators. How he does in this series will go a long way with that.
Gee, who wins tonight?
Gosh, I don't know. You want my heart or my head?
Well, okay, let me try it this way. Because it seems to me on the road when you're a heavy underdog that you almost have to steal it and score late before they know what's hit them. Do you think that scenario plays out tonight where they could?
Oh, I think so. I mean, with the way the team has played and the scores have kind of spread out, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see who does step up from that standpoint. But like I said, a lot of it's that fourth line, what kind of pace they set to start the game. My head says it's going to be tough. My heart says, and then I look back, like I said, I'm going back to that Chicago series in 2017 when the Predators weren't given much of a chance in that one. You know, it's the playoffs and anything can happen. And I'm trying to feel positive they got a chance to walk out of this. And I wouldn't be surprised if it's an overtime game. But I think it's going to be a close game. I think it's going to be a rugged game. And I'll be interested to see if the referees hold off on the penalties like they have in the first games and in the other divisions.
Yeah, playoff hockey definitely gets called much differently.
It's a little rough, and they haven't really called a lot in those first games of the first round.
Gee, thanks as always. We'll do it again tomorrow and talk a little strategy.
Hopefully we'll talk about a win.
Let's hope so. Keep your fingers crossed.
Right, sounds good. Yeah, sounds good.
Mark McGee joining us for what normally is a weekly Preds visit, but this week with the playoff series beginning, you will hear from him each and every day. And we'll go to the break, and we'll be back.
Hey, Nashville, this is Crazy Charlie Sonia, and it's time to put 2020 in the rearview mirror as I tell you all about Bongo Java. Nashville's oldest and most celebrated coffee company now is also located in the Omni Nashville Hotel. Bongo Java's expert baristas take pride in their trade, serving up fresh, locally roasted coffee and fresh baked goods all day long. For me, there's no better way to start the day than with the Egg McBongo. It's perfect. A fried egg with cheddar jack cheese. cheese on an English muffin. That paired with a cup of coffee is the best way to start your day at Bongo Java in the Omni Nashville Hotel. You can kick back and listen to the spin of vinyl records while enjoying a board game or two with all of your best friends. Open at 7 days a week and brewing up till 2. Bongo Java adds to the great Omni Nashville Hotel experience. That's Bongo Java, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue, downtown.
The old way of living with diabetes is a pain. You've got to remember to do your testing, and you always need to be sticking your fingers. The new way to live your life with diabetes is with a continuous glucose monitor. You simply apply a discreet, easy-to-use sensor on your body, and it continuously monitors your glucose levels, helping you spend more time in range and freeing you from painful finger pricks. If you test your blood sugar at least 4 times per day and inject insulin at least 3 times per day, or use an insulin pump and have private insurance or Medicare, you might be eligible for a CGM with little or no cost to you. Call U.S. Medical Supply today for a free benefits check. We offer free shipping, 90-day supplies, and we bill Medicare or your insurance directly. Call now and say goodbye to finger pricks.
800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. 800-806-9554. That's 800-806-9554.
Radnor Wine and Spirits has been serving the greater South Nashville area since 1976. Locally owned and operated, we're here to help you celebrate anniversaries, birthdays, or anything you have to celebrate. We have a large selection of wine, spirits, and high-gravity beers that can fulfill any want you have. Visit us at 2635 8th Avenue South in Nashville, or give us a follow on Instagram at RadnorLiquor615. Log on to the new website, RadnorWineAndSpirits.com. That's Radnor Wine and Spirits in Nashville.
Hey, this is George Plaster to talk to you about the folks at Shield Law Group. My guess is that some of you are like I have been at some point. You've got debt, and that's holding you back. Maybe you're ready to get back on the right track, buy a house, a car. In general, put bad financial decisions aside. And that's where these folks can really help you. They're local. They're accessible. When you need them, they'll be there for you. And they'll give you a free assessment. The beauty of Shield Law Group, they have a way of negotiating settlements that potentially could save you thousands of dollars and improve your credit rating. And 30 years of experience means they can probably help you. So give them a holler at 615-742-8020. That's 615-742-8020. And ask for my friend, Bill Kaloudis.
When was the last time you did something fun with family, friends, coworkers, and clients? What if I told you about a place under one roof that offers affordable entertainment for all ages? That's what you'll find at Strike and Spare Family Fun Centers in Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, Hendersonville, and Murfreesboro, with bowling, games, food, drink, and entertainment for all ages. Enjoy an enhanced experience in Hendersonville or Murfreesboro, where they feature additional fun with bumper cars, laser tag, roller skating, and more. All locations are open 7 days a week, including holidays. Visit online at strikeandspare.com. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
This is the Greg Pogue and John Burton Show.
Ted Lane's with us.
I hate to keep bringing up Love Boat questions, but I have so many.
Go.
So, did you actually know how to bartend before you got the part of Isaac on the Love Boat?
I didn't know anything. You can see that I'm sticking umbrellas into blended drinks.
Greg Pogue and News Channel 5's John Burton. WNSR. Nashville Sports Radio.
Sports Radio, WNSR.
The man, the myth, the legend, the Plaz. The George Plaster Show on WNSR Nashville Sports Radio.
3:46 is the time as we welcome all of you back. Terry, I remember when the Predators first came to town in 98, and I kept getting told, you have no idea what playoff hockey is all about. It's at a level that you won't believe. And I remember thinking, yeah, whatever. And then I learned that not only were they right in what they were saying back then, but how much I now love playoff hockey. I was fortunate enough to go to 11 home playoff games in 2017 when they made the run. They were the 8th seed in their conference, but the truth of it is they were the 16th and last seed overall to get in. And I've tried to kind of sit around and say, okay, are there really similarities between what's going on now and what was happening back then? Part of me wants to think there is, but Terry, the one thing I remember is even though the Blackhawks were the one, the Predators had played them twice in about a four-year playoff span and had taken them to the mat both times. And so, not that I expected a 4-0 sweep, but I absolutely believed that the Preds would play the Blackhawks tough.
Yeah, and I think that team, you know, just kind of had that look about it, that look of destiny. You know, and especially once they got by the Blackhawks, it was really no stopping that momentum and that run throughout the Western Conference. And this year's team, you know, I do see some similarities, but I think that this, you know, having come so late, really this run has only been over about the last 6 weeks or so, has kind of come completely out of nowhere and completely unexpected. And I think that's probably the main reasons the Predators are not getting a lot of respect, is because that team in 2017 was a pretty darn good lineup. They had, you know, there were some people who would tell you that they had kind of underachieved in the regular season, that they thought they were going to be a little bit better, a little higher seed, and then that didn't happen, but then they turned it around in the playoffs. This team, I think, is a complete surprise to a lot of people.
Watson, you got the chance to go to what was Game 3 of the Stanley Cup Final against Pittsburgh. It was one of the most unbelievable scenes outside that arena that I have ever witnessed. But you were watching it closely throughout all of that. Do you see similarities, or do you think it's totally different?
I'll see the similarities if we win this series. I think we need the confidence of beating a really good team like beating the Blackhawks that year. That's exactly what needs to go down. I'm not sure we have that confidence yet. We're playing a lot better. But if we come out of this one and we win it, look out, because now you've added the confidence with the style of play that they've grabbed a hold of and they're taking pride in.
Michael, you've never been to an NHL playoff game, correct?
Correct. Well, but, a playoff game, correct, yeah.
Right, but you're going Friday night.
Yes, I am.
So do you think you have any clue the level of intensity?
I really don't think I do. I remember I went to a couple Dallas Stars games that were just regular season games growing up, and I remember even in regular season games, it felt a little barbaric, people beating on the glass and going crazy. And so I can really only imagine what this is going to be like. I love it as a competitor. The adrenaline is probably going to be coursing through my veins Friday night, and so I have no idea what to expect. But I know I'm expecting something pretty big.
Well, so am I, or at least I'm hopeful of that. Terry, I'm convinced, and I have no proof of this because teams have rallied from 0-2 down before, that the key is that they go steal a game in Raleigh, whether it's tonight or Wednesday night, and that if they come home 1-1, number one, the feel of Bridgestone is going to be totally different. And secondly, if it's 1-1, now all of a sudden the Preds will have beaten Carolina 3 in a row, which may have their locker room going, what gives?
No, I think you're exactly right. And to me, tonight's game is the key, because if you can hit them with the first punch and stun them and win game one, then you really make them have to sit back and take notice. And there's a new level of respect. If the Hurricanes come out and win this, they can write off the two losses at the end of the regular season to Nashville as just, oh, well, they were clawing to get in. We really had nothing to play for. It's back to business as usual. But if the Predators come out tonight and they pick off a game one win, that's going to get Carolina's attention.
So, Watson, you've been more optimistic than anybody in this deal. I guess I've watched too much of Carolina bulldoze the Preds to really believe this is going down. Why are you so optimistic?
Well, number one, I'm a big believer in momentum, and we've got that. Number two, I listened to Mark talk about how healthy the Hurricanes are. Well, so are we. we're as healthy as we've been all year. I mean, we started out the gate with injuries. So, I mean, look at what injuries have done to the Braves right now. Injuries are big, and it can change a team drastically. I vividly remember winning the OVC, George, and had nearly the same players back other than one great receiver. And we had 26 surgeries and 42 players missed games the next year. It wasn't the same team anymore. And that's what the Preds have been through. So I think it's the perfect storm for the Preds right now. They couldn't be any better than they are right now in a momentum way and in a health way.
I hope you're right. I sure hope you're right. I would love to see exactly the scenario you've laid out there to play out. So, Michael, four road games yesterday, four road victories. Does that mean anything to you?
Well, that's kind of what I was going to ask. I had a question, not being a big hockey guy, but just wondering. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of fans at these games so far in the regular season, but looking at the records, I mean, Carolina is unbelievable at home, 23-5, 23-5. And, you know, it's just, I guess my question is, how much of is it the travel that you think makes the biggest difference? In, because there hasn't been a lot of fans, so that hasn't been as big of a factor. Is it travel? Is there something about playing on your home ice, not being a hockey player, not knowing a whole lot about hockey? What do you think that is?
Personally, I think it's if you can play defense and just stifle the opponent that has all the offensive firepower, eventually you will find a way. There's nothing that makes any sense about Minnesota winning at Vegas yesterday. That was a 1-0 overtime thriller, and that's the one that has me going, that's the blueprint for how the Preds end up beating Carolina if they are so fortunate.
Okay, I like that. Yeah. It was comforting to see four away teams win, because I really don't know with how loud it's going to be probably there tonight. You know, the Preds are going to have to say, hey, we belong here, and they're going to have to bring it.
7 o'clock tonight for the opening faceoff, 7:05, give or take. We'll wrap up hour number two when we come back.
Blair, what about my medical bills?
They'll all be taken care of through the settlement.
What about me?
You worry about getting better. Do what your doctor tells you. We'll take care of the rest.
What a relief.
Mark Durham Injury Law, 615-242-9000.
My doctor prescribed me Viagra. It wasn't covered by my insurance, so it was costing me like $65 a pill. That's expensive.
Over 20 million guys like us use Viagra. Over a certain age, we just need it. I found a way to pay less than $3 a pill and get virtually the same effect of the $65 pill. I heard an ad just like this on the radio called, and for $99, I got 40 generic versions of the $65 pill. Save yourself money and call right now and get over 40 pills for $99. There's no embarrassment here to use Viagra. If we're over 50, we need it, but not at high prices. Call now with your credit card and get the 40 pill special for just $99.
800-431-9102. 800-431-9102. That's 800-431-9102.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. 800-668-0042. That's 800-668-0042.
With the weather getting warmer,
I think about golf, even though my golf game isn't that great, and I want to throw an option out there that you may not have thought of in a while. Riverside Golf Links at 640 Old Hickory Boulevard. With new ownership, the golf course has improved dramatically. The greens look awesome. There are 27 holes, 9 of which are an executive course for beginners and juniors. So the other 18 holes have great bunkers. It's fun. It's relaxing. The pace of play will allow you to get 18 holes in 4 hours or less. So let me give you a couple of other particulars. A brand new grill, a stocked pro shop, and improved practice facilities. Great fun, great way to entertain yourself. Dial them up for a tee time, 847-5074, or go online, riversidegolflinks.com.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout the afternoon, mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures near 80. 20% chance of showers overnight tonight with mostly cloudy conditions. Lows low 60s and 30% chance of showers on Tuesday. Temperatures near 80. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner. Sports Radio WNSR.
He's live. He's local. He's George Plaster. The George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
Terry, I got something for you.
What you got?
42 years ago today, the wind was blowing out at Wrigley Field.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't seem very newsworthy, does it?
Was that the 23-22 game?
Excellent. Well done.
Where Mike Schmidt hit like 4 home runs, I think it was, and I think maybe Dave Kingman did a little bit of damage as well.
So if you took the under, which we think that day was probably around 9 or 10, you lost. 23-22, I think it's the highest scoring major league game in my lifetime. Watson, you try to behave until tomorrow.
If I was a pitcher in that game, I would have had a sore arm before it ever started.
Right now. It was unbelievable. Mike Schmidt went wild in that game. That was 42 years ago today, and yes, the wind was blowing out at Wrigley. We'll have the 4 o'clock hour when we come back. At the bottom of the hour, Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin will join us.
WPDQ
Transpro. On air and online, Sports Radio WNSR.
ABC News, I'm Rena Roy. Former Florida official Joel Greenberg pleading guilty to 6 charges today, including sex trafficking of a minor. Greenberg was an associate of Republican Congressman Matt Gaetz and has agreed to cooperate with prosecutors. Greenberg's lawyer, Fritz Scheller, today.
Does my client have information that could hurt an elected official? I guess this is just, you know, must-see television. You'll just have to wait and see.
President Biden announcing that COVID cases are going down in all 50 states. Mr. Biden talking with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu today. Netanyahu saying the Gaza offensive will continue, quote, to restore peace and security to all residents of Israel. The Palestinian Health Ministry reporting 212 dead in Gaza. Israel's death toll due to rockets fired from Gaza stands at 10. This is ABC News.
Microban 24 protects against Staphylococcus aureus and Enterobacter aerogenes bacteria, but does not provide 24-hour protection against viruses. Every time you touch a surface, you leave behind bacteria. Use Microban 24 sanitizing spray to keep surfaces sanitized all day. Spray on hard surfaces to kill 99.9% of bacteria and viruses initially, including the virus that causes COVID-19. Microban 24 keeps killing bacteria for 24 hours, touch after touch. When used as directed, Microban 24, touch after touch, it doesn't give up.
I'm Dr. Andrea Russo, a cardiologist.
Maybe you're waiting to talk to your doctor right now. But if you're having an irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness, don't wait. This could be a serious condition like atrial fibrillation, which can make you about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. If you're having these symptoms, don't wait. Talk to a doctor by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
It's time to say see you later, alligator, to embarrassing and troublesome issues with your skin, nails, and hair with all-natural Cayman alligator oil. Cayman oil is locally made right in Louisiana, where people have been using alligator oil for centuries to treat all kinds of ailments. A drop a day of Cayman oil can help you say see you later, alligator, to athlete's foot, nail fungus, acne, eczema, rashes, dry skin, cuts, infections, MRSA, scars, burns, sunburns, and even ingrown hair and dandruff. If you or someone you know is tired of suffering with any of these skin, nail, and hair troubles, you need to visit mycayman.com to learn more about 100% natural, non-toxic, hypoallergenic Cayman oil and get a bottle today. Say, see you later, alligator, with Cayman alligator oil at mycayman.com. That's my CAIMON.com. MyCayman.com.
Have you ever wanted to learn a new language like French, Spanish, or Russian, but thought it would be too difficult and time-consuming? Then go to Babbel.com and try it for free. Babbel works because it's built around real life. It teaches you everyday practical conversations that you will actually use. In 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. Babbel uses a modern conversation-based technique that makes language engaging, fun, and memorable. It starts by teaching you words and phrases. Then, sentences gradually get more complex. Soon, you're practicing short conversations about real-life topics. Babbel is created by language experts who use the spaced repetition method to help you learn quickly and remember what you learned. With Babbel, you can speak a new language. Babbel. Language for life. Celebrating 10 million subscriptions sold. Now try Babbel for free at Babbel.com. Just go to Babbel.com and start learning a new language today. That's Babbel.com. Babbel.com.
George Plaster, WNSR.
You are about to witness history in the making.
From the Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio.
What horrible spirit-crushing thing are you going to tell me now?
Welcome back to the George Plaster Show.
Americans heard the news and went wild.
Let's take some calls from the public, shall we?
Call now on the F&M Bank phone line, 615-844-5600, and online at WNSR.com. And now, George Plaster.
The 4 o'clock hour will be a good one. Terry McCormick retains phone rights. He's with us. Michael Sindrick is in studio. Having fun?
Absolutely. Having a blast.
For those of you who don't know, Michael is a Division II scholarship football player at Harding University in Searcy, Arkansas, doing a little bit of an internship, learning the broadcast ropes, or as a friend of mine once said to me, get out before you get in.
That's real comforting as I start my internship.
Yeah, it was never something that I was going to listen to. Terry?
Yes, George?
You are now officially sitting on the Kroger hot seat.
Oh, boy.
Do you know what that means?
That means it's time for stat of the day.
Well, not only that, Terry, but it will be multiple opportunities for you to look like a fool.
And now, it's time for Stat of the Day. Brought to you by Jeff Holzapfel Pressure Cleaning. Yeah, I said his name correctly. I'm the voice guy. Now, here's George Plaster.
Terry, would you like a stay of execution?
Sure.
We'll delay it a few minutes.
Okay.
Tony in Nolensville. Welcome into WNSR. What's going on?
Hello, George. Well, first of all, on your trivial question, believe it or not, I had guessed it.
Oh, don't give any of it away.
Oh, I'm not giving it away. No, I'm not going to do that. But and then another stat I wanted to throw out there to you today, George, and then I also want to talk about some one thing, especially with Michael sitting there.
Okay.
First of all, if Arkansas wins their series at Florida this weekend, they will tie Vanderbilt for being the only two schools to ever win all 10 series in the baseball season.
Really?
I don't know if you knew that.
Yes. That's a good stat. That's a great of the day. Stat there. Yeah.
Vanderbilt is the only baseball team in 2013. They went 26-3. The reason they didn't have 30 games is because they were beating South Carolina at their place, and the Brains came in, and South Carolina immediately called the game, the way I remember it, and did not want Vanderbilt to beat their record. However, Vanderbilt, they had won 25 SEC games, and Vanderbilt eventually won the next game or so and went 26-3 in 2013. And they're the only school so far to win all 10 series in the SEC baseball.
Tony, you don't just get that info anywhere.
Well, thank you, George. That's good. One question I want to ask Michael here, and George, this is a good topic y'all get to discuss. And Terry, this is really going to come down your alley a little bit. Have y'all heard the story of what happened to Chantarius Bryant, the Austin Peay defensive back?
Well, it's funny you would happen to mention that, because not 4 minutes ago it got brought up in this studio. Go ahead and tell people, for those who maybe don't know it, tell this, because this is a pathetic story.
It's terrible. It is pathetic. And he gets a call from someone out of the Atlanta zip code area pertaining to be either with Coach Peace or being Coach Peace or affiliated with the Atlanta Falcons defensive staff, and wants him to come to Atlanta, and they want to give him an invited undrafted pick, a tryout. And in doing so, he drives all the way to Atlanta, shows up at the Atlanta offices, and they flat tell him, no, we didn't call you. And here's my take, is Atlanta could have really done a goodwill thing. Said, you know what, you've done all this stuff, we'll look at you. You're probably not going to make nothing, but you can come in, have lunch, meet with us. We'll have to take a picture with a helmet and a jersey, and we'll just see where it goes. And who knows, they might have seen a lot in him and might have kept him.
Tony, you want to play one up?
What's that, George?
You want to play one up?
Sure.
The Braves should have had him throw out the first pitch tonight.
Oh, George, that would have been awesome.
How cool would that have been? And at the same time, you can sort of kind of give a little, you know, wink at the Falcons and say, you know, we'll take care of your dirty work.
Right. That is true, George. That's a great idea. I mean, yes, that is one up. What I'd like to ask Michael, and maybe he should have called, but is that a protocol, Terry or Michael, for – Michael, you're the player. Terry, you wouldn't know about the Titans. Something like that happened. Would the player, should he have, like, double-checked behind that phone call and see if they really did call? Or should they maybe done something a little different? Guys, I'm going to hang up and let y'all discuss it. George, great show today, and go Preds tonight.
Tony, thank you. Terry, when I was invited to play in the Green Hills Wife 4-on-4 run and shoot, I made him, you know, sign an affidavit.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing, that there's a couple of things that are kind of fishy about this. One of the things about it, George, is that I think with the COVID rules, I believe the teams are limited to having only 5 invited players that they can bring in for a tryout. So if the Falcons already had their 5, then this kid would not have been able to take part, even though he went down there. Now, the Titans, in their case, they only had 4. So some teams may have less than 5. If they had less than 5, they probably should have given him a look. And then here's the other thing. You know, in a tryout situation, normally the scout or someone from the front office would be the person that would be contacting and saying, hey, we'd like to bring you in for a tryout. Now, sometimes I talked to a former scout about this, and he said that sometimes coaches get involved and invite players to these tryouts. But the other part of that, where there should have been a back catch here, the agent for this kid, I'm sure he has representation, should have at least gotten a waiver notice saying, you know, you're going in for a tryout, you know, because they have to sign some sort of release waivers, because if you go out there and you don't have a contract and you try out and you suffer an injury, you know, the club doesn't want the liability that would come with that injury. So, you know, there are a couple of holes there, and it's interesting to see, you know, that this fell through the cracks, and I feel really bad for this kid that it happened that way.
Yeah, that's really tough. And, Tony, I wish I could say I know exactly. I'm going to still defer to Terry. The Atlanta Falcons haven't been knocking on my door to come out for a tryout for him. But
well, you know, because they know you still have eligibility.
Yeah, we'll say that's why. Yeah. That's the reason.
It's just a matter of time.
Sure, sure.
At this point, the Titans are probably looking at you.
Well, they did sign a receiver today, so they need a couple. But anyway, just looking at it, I would also say it's probably not on the player. It's probably not on Bryant here. I mean, the kid's from Austin Peay, and so he's not probably used to a bunch of NFL teams knocking on his door. So anything that seems semi-legitimate. And also, I mean, how many times do we hear this is a hoax? I haven't heard of this in ever, I don't think. So I'm not going to put it on Bryant, but I did see that Adam Schefter tweeted out that Bryant since has been invited by an organization called Hub Football, which is a little program to connect players to NFL teams, and he's going to attend the event, and I think the Falcons are going to attend it as well. So, you know, there's the Falcons, I guess, trying to cover back, saying, oh, we're going to give him a chance, but that's probably more.
What are they covering?
Covering their bumpers. That's what they're covering.
Bumpers?
Yeah.
Nice.
So
nice.
But that's probably what that is.
Bumpers.
But it's very unfortunate for Bryant.
Okay, Terry, your time is up.
All right. Stay
of execution is over.
Okay. I'm ready.
And now it's time for Stat of the Day. Brought to you by Jeff Holzapfel Pressure Cleaning. Yeah, I said his name correctly. I'm the voice guy. Now, here's George Plaster.
Michael, say hello to Terry McCormick.
Hello, Terry. Are you ready for the chopping block today?
Sure.
No, this is very gettable. Yeah, you know, I believe in you.
Routine. I don't think it's all that gettable.
Watson narrowed it to the top two.
Well, yeah. Yeah, because I took away what I thought was the most obvious. Well, let's see where Terry goes with this.
Okay. All right, Terry, you ready?
Yes.
Okay, so we're looking at the NFL in the last 20 years. And what state has produced zero NFL players in the last 20 years in the sense that they were born in that state?
In the sense that they were born in that state. Wow.
There's only one state.
Terry, thanks for playing.
Yes. It's got to be a small state. So it could be, you know, it could be some of those states out in the, you know, northern plains, you know, South Dakota, places like that. But, you know, there are some 1AA guys that make it from places like that. Alaska would be an obvious guess, but I'm not going there because I don't think that's right. There probably have been some players from Alaska.
Well, hold on a second. Because Alaska was my guess.
Uh-huh.
And this is what I heard.
All right. I'm going to say Vermont.
Vermont.
Terry, were you listening at 2 o'clock?
I think you cheated.
I was not.
I mean, he didn't even give me a thing he was thinking. He just said Vermont.
I promise I was not.
It seems fishy.
Think about it. Up in the New England area, aside from the Patriots, you get into those states like Maine and New Hampshire and Vermont. Not a lot of football that's being talked about up there in terms of college.
Well, listen, I felt bad after the first week.
I don't think that's
week.
True, though. The Catamount football is big.
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned. You're listening to the Catamount Radio Network.
What is a Catamount? Have we ever determined?
Heck if I know. Haven't got a clue.
A catamount.
Catamount.
Well, okay. I'm going to have to pick up stat of the day because it's unacceptable that Terry just
got
that easily.
So let's say Terry did cheat.
I did not cheat.
No, but let's say you did because we are suspicious. We wonder if maybe we threw a couple that you didn't know were coming out there and see how you fare.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Terry, as you know, 42 years ago today, 23-22, the wind was blowing out at Wrigley. 42 years ago today. So Michael, being of sound mind and semi-sound body, decided to look up a few things during the break just for you, Terry.
Oh, I did. I will admit the cheating here. I didn't know this was coming. I looked up the box of that game.
I don't think it'll help you.
Okay.
Okay, Terry. For the second and third stat of the day, what is the highest combined score in a game? I'll give you that one first. The highest combined score in an MLB baseball game.
The highest combined score. Well, that's 45. That's got to be right there.
Okay. Is 45 your final answer?
So you're saying that one is the highest one?
I mean, there might have been a game in 1913 between the Browns and the Senators, but I don't know that.
The correct answer is 49 runs scored in 1922. You were close with the 1913 guess. It was the Cubs against the Phillies, 26-23.
Watson was at that game.
Same two teams. Wow. Cubs, Phillies.
Watson was at third base. He was watching. The third stat of the day, excuse me.
He's getting ripped and he's not even here.
That's not fair.
That isn't fair.
Well, the third stat of the day is, what is the record for the most runs scored by a team in a single inning? Now, you're really going to have to turn back the clock on this one.
It's probably the Braves from last year when they scored 29 runs in the game. I don't know how many they scored in one inning.
It was against Florida.
Yeah, but I think it's probably that game last year.
Yeah, you were helpless here. The record is 18 by the Chicago White Stockings. In 1883.
Stay tuned. White Stockings baseball is next.
You're set up to fail on that one there, Terry.
The good old White Stockings.
You know you're an old team when the old English name has to change to get modernized.
Yeah. Wow. White Stockings. That's so intimidating.
They played at Stocking Stadium.
Yeah. By the way, I have a stat of the day that I'll save for later in the week if you want me to use it.
Really?
Yes.
Who would you like to embarrass the most?
You, of course. It's I love Yankees.
Wow. That's hurtful.
Yes.
So, Terry, guess where I went Friday night?
You told me you were going to see the Grizzlies.
Oh, a glorified GBA contest. Terry, they might as well have played the kicker in North Dallas 40. Do you remember that guy's name?
I do not.
Mr. Preja.
Nice.
Mr. Preja missed an extra point that had Tom Landry or whoever played him in that movie aghast.
Yes.
Cost him a playoff berth in that movie. Anyway.
Yeah. Kickers are prone to do that on occasion.
Yeah, they played a bunch of, you know, pretty good players that nobody's really ever heard of.
Guys from the Green Hills Y?
A little better than that. Now, I will say they talk the same level of trash. I did notice that on the big screen. Do you like this play-in game stuff?
No. And I mean, I get that it keeps more teams in the competition and in the conversation regarding the playoffs, but, you know, I think you're either in or you're in. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the one-game wild card in baseball either, you know, where 162 games comes down to one more game. I just think that the regular season needs to mean something. The regular season already means virtually nothing in the NBA, and now you're making it even worse if you're taking the number 11 team wins this play-in series.
You like it?
Not really. I think I see why Adam Silver wanted to do it. I don't know the answer to the whole tanking thing, you know, or the whole just teams checking it in with 2 months left in the season. I'm not sure how you fix it. I know this is their attempt to. It's a little too creative,
gimmicky.
Creative and gimmicky for me. But I don't know. I mean, how do you fix it? Because when you've got teams just tanking, it's not good for the league either, I don't think.
No.
Well, here's the thing, George. I mean, I want to ask you this. You know, I mean, it's come up a time or two, like with the Eagles last year in the season finale, but by and large, football doesn't seem to have a big problem with teams tanking at the end of a season to get a higher draft pick, not the way that the NBA did and that force them to have the lottery picks rather than just the worst team gets the number one shot. So, why do you think that is? Why do you think it's so much? Why do you think it's so much more prevalent in basketball than it is in football?
Terry, I've got maybe an idea for that. I mean, outside of the generational, right, Trevor Lawrence at number one, the football draft is so much deeper than the NBA draft. It feels like after the fourth pick of the NBA draft, everybody's a work in progress, you know, and so it could be the reality that there's 4 to 5 guys in an NBA draft that are ready to play, and then it feels like anything in the mid-first round are projects or have things to work on. You know, in the NFL draft, it feels like you're getting quality starters in the second and third round. There's not as much an emphasis to get down to one or number two for those teams. Right, there is obviously if you got a Trevor Lawrence, but it just feels so much deeper. The NBA, you got Zion Williamson, and then who knows what after that at number, you know, past number one. We've seen so many busts happen at draft picks number two, number three in the NBA. It just feels like there's so much less certainty when it comes to the NBA draft. Do you think that's at all valid?
Yeah, I'll buy that. What about you, George?
Well, Terry, I think there's a bigger problem in all of this. We all, I think, agree that both the NBA and the NHL play too many regular season games. And so the answer, it seems, would be, let's just make up a number. Let's go from 82 regular season games down to 70. You with me?
I was going to say 60, but I'll live with 70.
Okay. Well, for argument's sake, we're basically taking about 15% of games and doing away with them. And the owners are screaming and yelling the minute you throw that out there, we cannot afford this lost revenue. The players already think they play too many games. But when the owners try to go to them and say, okay, we're losing 15% of our gate revenue, we need you to take 15% less money, that's where all the screaming and the yelling starts.
Yep.
Nobody is willing to cooperate, and the truth of it is, most of the players in the NBA, well, virtually all of them in the NBA, and a lot of them in the NHL, it's a deck chair off the Queen Mary.
I think that's got a lot of truth to it, George. I hadn't necessarily thought of it that way, but no one's really willing to compromise once it comes to their dollar. Nobody wants to compromise. They can whine all they want until it comes to something coming out of their pocket. That's when the conversation stops.
You never hear anybody say, I would agree to give it up. And yet the players oftentimes will tell you, we play too many games. And the body language now is, we're tanking. The game I saw Friday night, while it was fun because I was with friends, that's the only reason. Quality of play, not all that good. It's a real problem in the NBA. I know we need to go to the break at 4:25. Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin will join us after the break here on WNSR.
Good afternoon. We're looking at heavy traffic here on 65 northbound, trying to get up through Madison, approaching Vietnam Vets, headed up towards Goodlettsville. It is looking better, finally, with that traffic flow on 65 southbound, down through Robertson County at the 105-mile marker from that earlier crash. And still over there trying to finish that wreck, 3,000 block of Smith Springs Road. Ripley's Aquarium, PJ Party with the Penguins, coming up on June 5th. All the details now at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
What is it about a classic that appeals to us? Hello, I'm Sammy Stewart, president of F&M Bank. There are a few classics that haven't changed. This truck and these glasses. You know, with proper maintenance and a few upgrades, a classic still works today. We invite you to experience the classic customer service at F&M Bank that has been our hallmark since 1906. Check us out at myfmbank.com.
F&M Bank, your money.
Smart choice.
Thinking about buying a home or refinancing? Lori Burnett Leland at MortgageLadyUSA.com can help. Listen to what other folks are saying about their experience. John in Birmingham says, quote, Lori helped me walk through each stage of the loan process and ensured I was comfortable with every step we made. She shared her wealth of knowledge and fielded all of my questions regarding my very first home purchase. She's the best. With the power of USA Lending behind her and over 50 different bank options, Lori Burnett Leland wants to be your mortgage lady. Call her today at 615-969-4350 or visit MortgageLadyUSA.com. Equal housing opportunity, One Vantage Way, Nashville, Tennessee, NMLS number 1088591 and 45370. Licensed in Tennessee, Alabama, and Georgia.
We need the forklift over here.
Indeed knows unexpected growth can stretch your business thin.
Okay, those molds need to be adjusted. The shippers are coming at noon, so we got to get this done.
Like at Dennis's plastic startup, to stay flexible, he needs to get started hiring right away.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. And the moment you sponsor a job on Indeed, you get a short list of quality candidates from our resume database. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get a $75 credit for your first sponsored job post. Terms and conditions apply.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Skyscan forecast. Throughout the afternoon, mostly cloudy skies. Temperatures near 80. 20% chance of showers overnight tonight with mostly cloudy conditions. Low 60s and 30% chance of showers on Tuesday. Temperatures near 80. Utilizing the resources of the WeatherBug Network on Nashville Sports Radio. I'm WNSR's Joe Gardner.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Look, up in the sky, it's a bird, it's a plane. Nope, it's George Plaster on the radio. The George Plaster Show on Nashville Sports Radio.
4:28 is the time, and we're about to have our weekly visit with Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin. I'm going to guess it was probably 12, 13 years ago that Tim sent an incredible young man, really smart guy named Drew Fan, to be an intern with me, and he has remained a friend all these years later. Tim, we're back into the internship business, and you're going to be asked a couple of questions later by Michael Sendrick, who is a Division II scholarship football player at in Searcy, Arkansas, Harding University.
Oh, yeah.
Coach Corbin, how are you? This is Michael. I don't think we've talked. Last time you were on, I was muted. You just got to listen.
Okay. All right, then.
Just wanted you to know that.
Yeah, well, that's good.
By the way, you sent me a great one in Drew Fan.
Drew is good, but, Drew was certainly a big part of our program in so many different ways. So, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad he's still in town.
It's a lot more fun to talk about sweeps of teams, and obviously that didn't happen this weekend. But how important was it to get an atmosphere that is totally an NCAA tournament kind of feel?
Yeah, really good point. I think it's very important. You think Georgia, and you've covered sport for a long period of time, but in our game, you've got 300 schools and probably maybe – six of them are exposed to that type of atmosphere during the course of the year. So, yeah, you want to get a positive outcome. And, you know, we got one. We didn't get two. And we certainly didn't get three. But what you get out of that is an experience in a situation where you've got 10 to 15,000 people and they're on you from the time that you start to the time that you finish. And you can feel them and you can feel momentum shifts because of them. And that's part of the game. Now, you might not get a lot of that going forward because once you start getting into postseason, it becomes, you know, split for the most part. But it certainly helped our young kids because our young kids were in the middle of that fray yesterday, you know, from a pitching standpoint. and they didn't react well to it. But, you know, through the years I've seen that, and those guys are very capable. So they'll learn from it and move forward. I just don't want them to carry the outcome of it, because that's luggage they don't want to carry. But they certainly want to use those experiences to help them move forward.
Tim, you know as well as anybody what an achievement it is to win a championship. Heck, if it were easy, everybody would do it, because it's a lot more fun than not winning. You've won two of these national titles. You've got a team right now that everybody yaps and chirps about and says, gosh, Rocker and Leiter, how can they not win, blah, blah, blah. But it isn't that easy. Give me some things that need to get better if you're going to get close to achieving that.
Well, you need to solidify another starting spot, and that's pretty simple for us, because we've got to get someone in there that can not be perfect, but at least give you what you need in order to keep your team close and give you some length into a ball game, because we've just been exposed to some casualties, and I don't want to talk about it too much, because I don't ever want to come off as like we've got too many injuries. We don't. But the reality is we have to be very efficient with our pitches and our bullets. If we're not, you know, we could be exposed to some offense from the other side. So that needs to happen. And then I do think we're developing offensively. I mean, you know, you see it certain times. You can't home run yourself to a national championship in Omaha. That just doesn't happen. You don't hit balls out of their field that way. You can get into the SEC and hit some balls out at Tennessee or Ole Miss or ballparks that are favorable to that, but you can't get in the middle and hit the bottom of the ball and expect that success. So we need to continue to focus ourselves on balance and staying in at bats and putting the ball in play, because those are the teams that have some length to them, is when they pitch and play defense and then put the ball in play. Then you give yourself a chance to play deeper into the year. So we're still a ways away from, I say a ways away. We're getting closer. We've got some punch, but we need to extend ourselves in the bat. And I just think more than anything else, George, those are kids that just haven't been exposed to a lot of at bats yet. They need another 100, 200 under their belt, and you'll start to see a different hitter.
Tim, you made a really good point, and I guess I fully understand it, having been to Omaha in 2015 when you all went to the finals the second time against Virginia. I'm guessing 85 to 90% of major league ballparks are easier to get a ball out of than Omaha. So with that in mind, as you get deeper into the season, do you emphasize small ball more?
I think emphasize the flights of the ball, George. It's more about even going to Birmingham. I always thought, now Birmingham is a little bit smaller than it was a few years ago because they brought the fences in a little bit, but you still just can't whack the ball out of there either. And I think that was always a nice precursor leading up to the postseason, because you were in Birmingham, then potentially you were back here in Hawkins, and what you're playing in big venues. So you know that just balls just aren't going to jump out of the park. And I think the key there is just using the middle of the field more than anything else. I think we just accentuate on using the middle of the field and keeping the heights at ceiling heights where, you know, they're over the infielders, underneath the outfielders. And, you know, that's tough to do. But at the same time, if you're centering the ball, then you got more of a chance to produce a positive outcome. And that's really what you want. Friday night was kind of the antithesis of what we're looking for, and the fact that 22 of the 27 outs were non-pressurized outs. They're either strikeouts or balls hit straight up in the air. And when you do that, you don't pressure the defense. And I think it's all about putting pressure on the defense, whether it's making them come get the ball or hitting the ball in the gaps in the middle of the field. And if you do that, then you get a chance to expose other teams.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin is on the line with us for his weekly visit. Terry, what do you got for him?
Coach, I'll continue on this theme with a couple of things. First of all, you talk about putting the ball in play. What is, for your players, what do you feel like is an acceptable contact percentage rate for those guys to be able to put the ball in play? I'm sure you want it to be around 85 to 90% if possible.
Well, yes. I mean, you'd like to get those percentages up to about 75% where they put the ball in play. I mean, the college defense are not perfect. They make mistakes. So you look at that, especially if you hit it with energy, Terry, then you are putting pressure on the defense. I think the biggest, if you're going to be a pretty good hitter at this level, you've got to understand the strike zone. If you understand the strike zone, you're going to check off on the borderline breaking balls that aren't hittable and that are swung at. And you know, the case in point would be yesterday and, you know, even Friday. We offered too many times at that two-strike letter high fastball that's like two balls above letters where it looks pleasing to the eyes, and then you make an attack on it, but you can't hit it. And so you swing through it. And at the very best, you swing underneath it and hit it straight up in the air. So the key, and if you're talking about Austin Martin, if you're talking about J.J. Bladé, if you're talking about the Vanderbilt hitters and what made them special, everyone's going to point to, well, their power or their ability to hit the ball the other way. What's primary with all those guys, they know the strike zone. And if they know the strike zone, you're going to get yourself in better counts. If you get yourself in better counts, then you understand, you have more of a chance of guessing on the percentage pitch that you're going to get. If you guess right on the percentage pitch, you got more of a chance to get your timing right. If you get your timing right, you got more of a chance to impact the ball. And really, that's what it boils down to.
And that led me to this. Do you like guys who are first ball, fastball hitters, or do you want guys to work the count and go deep in the count?
I like guys who are first ball, fastball hitters if they get the barrel to the middle of the ball. I love those guys because, you know, those guys who are swinging. Think about guys who swing early, Terry. It's almost like hit and run guys. Like, there's some really good – there's some hitters who hit better in hit and run situations because what you do is you eliminate the thought for them. So it's like, next pitch, I got to swing. No matter where it is, I got to swing. And I think with first ball hitters, they've told you by being a first ball hitter that they've eliminated thought. They're on go right away. And there's some guys that are very good at that. Now you got to kind of take the good with bad, because if you're a first ball hitter, well, Scott Brown knows who those guys are. And if Scott Brown knows that there's a first pitch fastball hitter, well, you know he's not getting a fastball. He's getting a changeup or he's getting something that spins. So it's kind of like your readiness. You want that guy who's ready. But, you know, there's been so many good professional hitters, whether it's, you know, I think of Clemente, I think of Vladimir Guerrero. I'm not talking about junior. I'm talking about senior, that they were on go the minute the ball was thrown forward. And they had very good hand-eye, too. And you know, I'll tell you something. To this day, and George can probably say yes, the best first ball, fastball hitter, or the best hitter we had that would swing at anything was Warner Jones. And to this day, I thought Warner Jones would be a big league hitter because his hand-eye coordination was unbelievable. He had a ball out here in center field on a ball that was just about ready to hit the ground. It was a breaking ball ready to hit the ground. He golfed it out, and it hit the center field batter's eye, and I said, my gosh, this kid can hit anything.
Wow. That's a good story.
Wow. And then one last one, and I'll give you over to Michael. The stolen base, at least at the big league level, has become a lost art, but you guys are 75 out of 84, including Enrique Bradfield, who I'm looking at is 41 out of 45. How much of an extra dimension is the stolen base for this team? Gives you the ability to hit and run, even if the batter doesn't make contact, gives you the ability to, you know, take an extra base without using an out a lot of times on a sacrifice bunt. How big of a weapon has that become for you guys?
Well, I mean, you're talking about Enrique, who's got most of them, but it's a weapon. We've got some guys that are very capable, whether it's Isaiah Thomas or Carter Young, or got some other guys who can run, but it's a real luxury because you want the pitcher to feel that pressure. It's very difficult to throw strikes when you're sideways and you have to worry about the guy behind you to your right or right in front of you if he's standing at third base. So I think that's always a key. If we can get a guy to second base or third base with less than two outs, then you're helping your offense because you're making it a little bit easier to touch home plate by just putting the ball in play. And Enrique certainly has helped us with that. He's been a tremendous, he's been a very good first-year player. He plays with one thing in mind, and that's just to beat the opponent. It's not very – he doesn't make it difficult. He competes. And when guys compete like that, they become very influential on your offense.
Michael?
Coach Corbin, you've talked about just a little bit, even listening to you right now, about percentages of what pitch they're going to get, understanding the game more from a strategic standpoint. And for me, as a college football player, going from high school to college, it felt like the learning of knowledge of the game just – dramatically increased. How much of a gap is there the guys that you get as freshmen from high school to college, do you get from a understanding the game of baseball from a strategic point of view? Is that gap big? What do you feel like your role is in that?
Well, it's certainly a role, because I think the thing that's been lost, and you're going to drag me into a conversation that I could have a long one on, and that is today's amateur game, it's changed quite a bit. And because it's changed quite a bit, it's moved from more of a showcase style game away from a team element. And I think the guys who can play at a high level have an acumen, have a feeling for the game. They understand it. They understand how to play with teammates versus just auditioning their tools, because auditioning your tools means nothing inside this game. I mean, tools are good if you understand how to drive the car, but if you don't understand the mechanics of driving the car, then you don't know how to get inside the car to use it. And I think that's really what it comes down to, is guys have an understanding of how to play. We teach the game a lot here, especially in the fall, and we teach it along the way too. At a pre-team meeting yesterday, we were talking about fundamentals, but I think this is something that I think we do well here, and something that we pride ourselves on is understanding the game. But we want at least a high school graduate mental approach of how to play baseball. You know, someone who understands the team element of the game, because if they don't understand the team element of the game, it makes it very difficult to insert that player into what we're doing to have any type of success.
And Coach, just one more question is, you know, you started the season back in February and now we're in May. What's the process as a coach of managing fatigue and also trying to get your guys to be peaking at the right time? As a coach, where does your role come into that, and what's the strategy there on your part?
Yeah, I think just not demanding so much of them on the field in between the game days. Training days are very important in the fall, and they're very important leading up to the season. But then once you get into May and June, then it's calibrating everything and understanding that the temperatures of the game are going up, and so isn't the temperatures of the weather. And when those two meet, they take a lot out of the kids, both mentally and physically. So what you need to do is step back a little bit. And we're in a situation now where we're coming off a very emotional series against Ole Miss. We got in late last night. I've mentioned getting rest about 50 times in between last night and my last team meeting, which was about an hour ago. And I talked about putting the right things in their body, too, moving forward, because tomorrow night's going to be a very difficult one, and then we have to step into our last conference series of the year, which is going to have a lot of meaning on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So, yeah, we're going to just try to kind of watch their legs, sit the guys down that need a rest, and just try to do the best we can with what we've got. But rest is certainly important right now moving forward.
Tim, thanks as always. This is fun talking to you.
Well, likewise. Thanks a lot, guys. I appreciate it. Thank you, George.
Vanderbilt baseball coach Tim Corbin on the line with us. We'll go to the break at 4:45, and we'll be back.
Good afternoon. Traffic's on the increase even more now on the South Loop, the West Loop. It's trying to recover down 65 through Robertson County on an earlier wreck we had there near the 105 mile marker. Traffic stop and go now at times up and down Melinda Parkway there in Mount Julia. Just busy out here near the interstate. Hey, True Friends Moving Company is now hiring. Call 240-2811 online at truefriendsmovingcompany.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
I'm Blair Durham from Bart Durham Injury Law. We are open 24/7. Our team is working remotely so that we can stay connected during these times. We can get to work for you without a face-to-face meeting. We will get through this together. Our firm has been here 50 years and plan on 50 more. During scary times like these, we have to stay connected. Check out our social media to see how we can help our community and friends. I'm Blair Durham. We will get through this together.
Dad, guess what?
What?
You are going to be a grandfather.
That's great. You're going to be a wonderful mom, and I can't wait to be a grandpa. Not too long ago, moments like this with my daughter would have been a challenge. It was a long road for me to find myself again after Vietnam. I struggled to connect with almost everyone and preferred being alone. It was my neighbor Jim, another Vietnam veteran, who finally convinced me that I could still connect with my family and find that fulfilling life I'd lost. In fact, I called Jim first with the news about my granddaughter, Lizzie. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be a grandfather.
Congratulations, Dave.
Hey, let's get together and celebrate.
Well, as long as you're not grilling.
My pride was my armor, but I didn't know it then. I couldn't put it into words. I was sad, was scared, I felt alone. I didn't know how to reach out, so I hid behind anger and silence. But then I decided to listen to Jim, and I went for help down at the VA. If I can take that first step after almost 50 years, I know other veterans can too. Visit maketheconnection.net to find out more.
Whether you're driving for distance, pitching for precision, or putting to win it all, come to Edwin Watts Golf Shop to get custom fit for all your clubs throughout your bag. Hit a few balls and let our team show you the latest swing technology and data that will help optimize your game. Having each club tailored to become your gamers will help you start shooting lower scores. Let Edwin Watts Golf Shops help you make every shot the perfect one. Come in and get custom fit today. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee.
Get all your NASCAR news every weekday right here on the Final Lap. Hey, it's Kerry Murphy, and Hendrick Motorsports dominated Dover with a 1-4 finish. Alex Bowman grabbing the Miles the Monster Concrete Trophy. Up next, we are looking forward to road course racing NASCAR style from Circuit of the Americas in Austin, Texas. So grab all the latest NASCAR news, race recaps, driver interviews, stats, and info every single weekday right here.
Hi, this is Alex Bowman, and you're listening to the Final Lap.
Hey, check us out at youtube.com/thefinalap every single weekday right here.
Sports Radio WNSR.
The George Plaster Show, serving up the best sports coverage in Middle Tennessee from Nashville Sports Radio.
Okay, a few notes to give you before we end the third hour. Terry, you'll be glad to know, I'm glad to know, that Victor Arvidsson will be in the lineup tonight for the Preds. They're a little more than 2 hours away from the opening round playoff game in Carolina, and he will be back, and I think that's big.
That's good news. That, you know, that brings a guy with a lot of playoff experience into the lineup at just the right time.
So that one, about 2 hours and 10 minutes away. Terry, your boy Giancarlo Stanton. Brittle.
Brittle.
Quad injury.
Shocking.
What do you do about him? I mean, it's been this way really since he's been a Yankee.
Yes, he is made of glass.
Wow. How do you really feel?
Oh.
They've got the Rangers tonight, so no, there should be no worries. They're absolutely horrible.
They also have Garrett Cole, which for the most part has been automatic. But I don't know. The Giancarlo, first of all, Terry, how much longer has he got on that contract?
Ooh, that's a good question. Was this his third or fourth year with the Yankees?
I want to say number four, including the COVID.
Yeah. So
COVID being number three, I think.
Yeah. I can't remember how long a deal he signed, but, you know, there have been times he's been stealing. Let's just put it that way. Then there are other times that he's, you know, earned his keep.
Look, you know, there's no doubt when the guy is healthy, he's a stud.
No, no doubt. I mean, he showed that
in Miami.
The playoffs last year.
Right.
In the first round.
But if you go back to Miami, which is a cave, that stadium, it takes a bazooka to get a ball out of there.
Yeah.
You're certainly not making it any easier by number of fans. What did he have? He had like 60?
At 59.
59.
Yes.
in a, quote, post-steroid era?
Yes.
Pretty good.
That's not bad at all.
And then we have the story of young Waskar Enoa. For those of you who have not heard, Braves right-hander Waskar Enoa. He got lit up pretty good yesterday in a loss to Milwaukee. They lost 10-9 up there, although they took 2 out of 3 in that series against the Brew Crew. But he apparently punched something in the dugout, broke his hand, and he'll be out 2 months. That's nice.
Yeah, that's not a productive way to take out your anger. Let's just say that.
Terry, if you really look at it, what you've got right now is a carbon copy of what they were dealing with a year ago. Soroka, nowhere to be found, really good pitcher when he's healthy. No question the ace of their staff. Not available. Max Fried, he'll pitch tonight. I thought he had a Cy Young kind of year last season, but he's been hurt. He's just coming off the DL. I think this is his second start since he's gotten off the DL. And now Enoa, who has been their best pitcher in a starting rotation that's been a joke.
What happened to the Anderson kid? I had high hopes for him after last year.
He pitched really well Saturday night. It took a no-hitter into the seventh at Miller Park. By the way, that young guy committed to Tim Corbin at Vandy.
Yeah. And speaking of Vandy, it's interesting. They have not summoned Kyle Wright back from the minors, even though they're desperate for pitching.
Why should they?
Well, I mean, you know, he's at least been here before. He has the talent. It's a matter of can he harness it?
No question. There's no doubt he has big league stuff. And let me say this, Terry, because you know I've been all over him. He has been the poster child whipping boy for me of the Braves, because it has been very frustrating to watch a guy breeze through the first inning with great stuff, and the minute he gets into trouble, he folds like a cheap suit, and he sure didn't learn that from Tim Corbin. I think the Braves are reaching a point with Kyle Wright where they're about to tell him, you know what, we've got other options. When they don't call him up right now, that's a signal.
That's very much a signal. That is something that, you know, as desperate as they are for starting pitching and they just bypass him altogether, that's a clear message that he needs to get his act together.
I'm looking at the NL standings right now. The Braves 2 games back from the Mets. With Soroka and now Enoa out for a while.
This is their blessing. Is there only two out?
Absolutely. It is their blessing. But if you're the Braves, what is a win going into the All-Star break? To be down how many games? Do you feel like you can crawl back?
I think the division is going to give them an opportunity if they can be within about 4 at the All-Star break, given all that they're dealing with.
That they can make a run?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, they've got to solidify their bullpen as well. Their bullpen's in shambles. And they've signed Shane Green, finally. Anthopoulos got permission from Liberty Media to do that. But this thing has been a sieve so far. They can't get anybody out. Terry, that's a good time, as I get wound up, to say, I got to go. Let's go to the break. We'll wrap this baby up when we come back.
Good afternoon. Traffic's on the increase even more here in the last few minutes. Ellington Parkway going outbound. 24 is busy as expected here up by Ellington Parkway. Heavy, but moving down 65 through Brentwood, Franklin, all the way down into Spring Hill. And